following is a Red Shovel Network production. The Red Shovel Network consists of The Drew Mike Show, Charlie the Duff's No Bullshit News, Emma Elric's Soul of Detroit, and No Filter Sports and shit. Enjoy the following Red Shovel Network production, please.
Hey, what's poppin'? New week.
Yeah.
In the DealsInTheD.com studios. And, of course, the rest of the week we'll be on Facebook Live, brought to you by Mesa Tacos and Tequilas in Royal Oak. Please go, because I think the partners need payouts over the summer. I was just texting Gabara going, are we getting payouts this summer? What's up? I haven't seen anything.
It was hopping on Friday night.
I know, that's
cool. Royal Oak was too busy.
I wrote him back and I said, I've been there three times last month. It's crazy every time I've been there. How can there not be payouts? Of course, that's the only time I pay attention when I think I deserve money.
Certain someone's not going to be happy, but I drove through a whole parking garage. Not a spot in there.
Oh, I hope he doesn't hear this. Of course, Killer Cares.
It was 6 o'clock on a Friday night. That's a good thing, right?
Well, he would say that, why are you trying to park there? Did you go by the parking garage?
It was a parking garage, yeah.
Wait, the parking garage had no spaces?
Yeah, the center street.
Mm-hmm. It said zero spaces available?
I drove through it. And there were no spaces.
They let you in even though there were no spaces?
It was all automated, yeah.
Oh, boy, this is...
I don't care. It's fine.
I predict there's a haughty response, but...
Oh, I don't want to be mixed in it. Can we just strike this?
No, this one's on you. I'm out of the middle. I didn't want to hear about it.
You pushed me further in. I went out.
I'm getting out of the middle.
Life vest.
Enjoy the warm sunshine. Check out Mesa's $7.99 summer lunch specials being served daily. And that's going on now. By the way, we met Adam Hart over there. He won one of the auction items before with lunch with Charlie and I. And unfortunately, you know, he's in town, so we had to get it in. But Charlie had his show to do, so it was about an hour and 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Normally, we end up hanging out a little longer. But Adam was great. He's a doctor, by the way.
What kind?
Psychiatrist. He can write scripts.
That's what I was going to ask.
Which he made very clear.
That's what I was going to ask.
I was going to ask him to write me one, but I didn't want to put him on the spot.
Cool.
His wife is a doctor, too.
Ooh.
And it was funny because originally...
they have any kids? Because those kids got a lot to live up to now.
I think they have two... Oh, God. Was it? Yeah. Yeah, he's got kids. Yes.
They better be doctors.
He also said...
What's up, Doc?
I think his wife was maybe giving him a little nudge about, this is a mighty expensive auction item. And so I was feeling kind of guilty about it. But then when I heard he was a doctor and she was a doctor, I was like, oh,
right off.
I wasn't angry with her, but I
was she
feel,
there?
I don't feel no. She was not. Wow. But maybe she'll respond. I don't think she listens. Otherwise, she would have surely realized what value
totally
Adam got.
Yeah.
Anyways, great to meet you, Adam.
It's cool
and fun to hang out with Charlie too. Bottomless chips and salsa to go with your fresh squeezed margaritas and 150 tequilas, the most in the state at Mesa Tacos and Tequilas. And you should go because I want to make money.
the banging route.
No, it's great. Mesa's cool. It's a good time to go. It's fun.
You. That's all you care about.
Well, in this case, yes. Meanwhile,
I don't make any money off of it. I'll vouch for it.
Mesa's cool. I think you'll have a good time. Send me a receipt if you don't, just so I can see how much you spent.
Figure out my percentage.
Yeah, we'll give you a percentage. You can pay back part of it too. Hey, Michigan's in the College World Series tonight, which is
how crazy.
Awesome.
How crazy is that? One of the last teams in.
I know. I just think it's great that there's interest in college baseball. It's fun to watch. And every time I watch college baseball, I generally enjoy it.
Yeah, it's wacky, man. They make a lot of mistakes. They put the ball in play, which is kind of refreshing to see.
Aluminum bats?
The aluminum bats
are the real outlier for me. But I do think, I don't know, I don't think it's, I think it's a pretty good quality of play. Plus, it's fun seeing guys in playing for colleges, just like baseball and...
And black people playing basketball.
Well, yes. There are some. How many black guys are on the team?
At least three that I know of.
Well, I heard the...
Two of them coach, named Jordan.
The coach of Michigan's baseball team saying that he wanted to have a diverse team, and I really, my jaw dropped. Like, what?
Well, it's easy.
Don't you want to recruit a winning team?
It's easy to say when you have a diverse team, too.
I'm not against having a diverse team. If he said, we have a diverse team, I'm very proud of it. I don't know. It's a strange thing to talk about in regards to, of course, you want the best team you can possibly have. And if you say, well, we don't have enough of this kind of people. I mean, I've never heard a football coach talk about having a diverse team as being a high priority.
I saw the interview where he's like, he wanted it to represent America. And I just went, are there any Asians on this team? I don't even know if there's Hispanics.
I just think
team.
It's a strange thing. And I'm rooting for Michigan. I've had a lot of fun watching, yeah. And I think this guy's a good coach. So I don't want to beat him up for it. But I just I want to see a football coach from a top 20 team say that he wants a diverse team. That's a priority.
I
don't want to see his team
during the game.
I don't think they'll be very good
on Friday. You know, they're talking about those giant belt buckles which have the plays on them.
Yeah. That's flipping me out, too.
Yeah, they're not the only team that does that, but they, you know, it's kind of like football. They have the plays in it. But did you know that some of the coded things are things that just say, have fun?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, like a little pick-me-up.
Wear that outfit again.
Little pick-me-up lines.
Okay. Well, they look like they're having a great time. They're having a great year. Good for them.
It's been a blast, man.
And I'm really looking forward to watching it. Vanderbilt's supposed to be really good.
They are.
They're good every year.
They are. They always have great pitching. David Price pitched there. And they had a guy throw a no-hitter, 19 strikeouts.
Is that
guy's
name Kumar Rocky, or I don't know what his name is.
When
is
he?
Name.
Is he pitching the first game?
He is not.
He's
no,
not.
But Michigan has Tom Hank going for him.
Tom Hank.
Yeah, Tommy Henry.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Tom Hank.
Oh, Tom Henry. Yeah, I've seen him pitch. He's good.
Bunt. B-U-N-T.
I'm still riding a little bit of a high from the weekend after seeing Bob Seger Friday night at the alleged last Detroit show, and Mark was there with Rosie.
Yeah, my mom.
And
the thing I said to her most of the time was, can you see?
I know Rosie's worried. How tall is Rosie?
I don't know, 2.5 feet maybe.
Yeah, she's very short.
She gets mad if you talk about her height. Sorry, mom.
Oh, okay.
No, she used to be, I think, 5'0", and then she had a surgery, and she lost like a quarter inch.
Ouch.
So now she's not 5 feet anymore.
Well, I think for females, it's always an issue if you're on a main floor.
Oh, yeah.
In the pavilion, although it does go up. You know, any female that's 5'4", 5'3", 5'2", it's a problem. But I got to tell you, there was no one sitting down. What song is this? Is that Bob? When it comes
to loving, it's definitely not Bob. Oh, she steals the show. She ain't exactly pretty. She ain't exactly. Is this a cover?
Yeah, it wasn't supposed to be. 14, 9, 56. You can
say she's got it all. What's the song referring to? I'm confused as to the production element that just entered the show. Was that a song about Rosie?
Yeah, whole lot of Rosie.
Okay. I don't think it described Rosie Fellhauer very well. But who was that? Who does that song?
I don't know.
That's AC. Oh, ACDC.
I hate these damn videos.
I know. YouTube.
This one's better.
What is this?
No. It's like just, they're all live versions. Why don't I know? When I cut it into love,
Rosie steals the show. She's exactly pretty. Bob was fabulous. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I've really been high from the show for a couple days. I love seeing
a good
concert like that. You know, the band is fantastic. Bob is just so Michigan.
He's like, he seems like a genuine, nice guy.
He really does. I mean, he's so Midwestern. Everything about him, I mean, and I can say that from meeting him.
Ooh!
He's just such a humble guy, and seeing him on stage with a headband, the most unhip thing a rock star could possibly have on. And he so doesn't care that I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah. Remember when he came in studio and did that whole string of interviews? Remember how he was just hanging out that week?
Yeah. It was so funny having Bob in the building. It was like any other visitor. Here comes old Rose. She's looking mighty fine. Here comes hot Nancy. She's stepping right on time.
Hey, Bob. Peterson's great. Here comes the streetlights. Bring it on tonight. There was a really interesting little screw up in the show too. Before he was doing night moves, aka nice moves, aka bowel moves.
Yes.
He started playing the guitar. I thought it sounded a little off, so I don't know if someone. Sorry, I didn't know if someone brought him the wrong guitar or not, because he had a false start. He apologized for it, then started again. And actually, you know, a roadie's bringing a different acoustic guitar out to him while he's singing, trying to put the strap over his head. And then he just abandoned playing it, and the Brandon lookalike picked up the the acoustic guitar part of the song.
Yeah, Brandon seems to be in the Silver Bullet Band. I swear I saw this guy on lead guitar, and I told Mark, I'm like, is it Brandon playing up there?
Hilarious.
He really resembled Brandon. I mean, his body language and everything.
Yeah, I didn't know you were in the band, Brandon.
What was the body language that was, like, what kind of body language do I have? That
just looked like if you were rocking, that would be you.
Okay.
Has everyone discovered this? There's a million Brandon lookalikes out there.
Yeah.
Growing up, everybody always used to tell me, you look like my friend, you look like this. It was never anybody famous or anything, but it was always, you look like somebody.
No, I think you're a generic dude.
Okay. And now it's this Tostitos commercial guy everybody keeps saying.
Dead on.
I don't believe that.
That guy in the news.
He's a ginger.
Remember the guy in the news that day? When you posed next to the TV, which was hilarious.
Yeah. There was also the dude... God,
there's a lot of... I get people send them all the time. I don't even pass them along half the time because, like, oh, another Brandon. Jeez.
A lot of handsome guys out there.
Generically handsome. Out
in the back seat, I think the beard is a requirement, so it could be... It may just be the beard. I don't know. I don't think so, though. There's a lot of Brandons out there. But anyway, the band was fabulous.
Yeah.
Bob, I thought, sounded really good.
Did.
And it's so fascinating to me that Bob, who was off the road so much, you know, I got here in 91 and it was like, Bob Seger Live, what are you kidding? He just wasn't touring at all. And then he went out finally, maybe it was 96 or so, and I saw him and I enjoyed it, but I thought he sounded better in 2013 when I saw him. And he's been a touring machine, really, the last few years. Hasn't he been out there a lot? I mean, for Bob,
it's really seems like it, but maybe that's because we're here, because he's been playing here a lot.
Yeah, and he just wasn't out there for a long time, but I thought he sounded really good, and, you know, he's having so much fun up there, and he's just, there's something so likable about Bob himself.
Yeah.
He's definitely, I mean, he is our guy, and he is our star. He is a monster star, and he just doesn't seem like it. Doesn't act like it.
I really think he should do a residency, like, next summer. Just do, like, four shows at DTE in the summer.
You know, I don't know why that wouldn't work. You know, I can't speak for Bob Seger, obviously, but it seems like it would be perfect, and it would sell out, of course. It'd be an event like Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden, where it is, what, one show a month, is it?
Yeah, which has been a huge success.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, things change, and sometimes they look like they don't make sense. Like, I remember the Vegas residencies.
Yeah.
Those are huge now.
There's a lot of people doing those. Well, Aerosmith.
Yeah.
It's really odd.
No, some really cool. Elton John.
Yeah.
I mean, some really cool people, but you think about it, it's like, hey, they get to sit in one place, go to their show, go home, and live a relatively normal life.
Yeah. That's really cool. I would do that.
Yeah, and as far as a fan, what's the difference? You're seeing your favorite, whoever it is, that day. I woke last night to the sound of thunder.
How far off I sat and wondered. And don't forget, tomorrow morning is your chance to win a pair of tickets to see this man live in concert.
did you have a favorite track from the show?
Trying to think. I mean, they're all really good. I like Night Moves just because of the mistake, which I know maybe I shouldn't like that.
I know. I left. I was not going to fight traffic. So I left before the encores.
I love the song Hollywood Nights, which was in the encore. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, cool song.
The crowd was getting off on Turn the Page.
Oh, yeah.
Singing along really loudly.
I didn't think the crowd was going to stop after that song. It was one of those things. The crowd was just so geeked and... You know, Bob's just been doing this so long. There's so much love for this guy. And the crowd was on their feet all night, except Vinnie Johnson. Vinnie Johnson was three rows in front of us, and he was seated most of the show. He was.
Well, he stood for the...
He's the only black guy in the building.
I think the third song was Fire Down Below, and I think you said something like, you love this song. And I said, yeah, too bad Vinnie Johnson hates it, because that was the song he sat down at. And then he never stood up again.
Vinnie taking a knee, perhaps? Was there a protest?
He was not taking a knee. He had a few beers. He was drinking. I think his knees hurt, and that's why he wanted to sit down.
Did he feel obligated to go? I mean...
I don't know. The guys around him were having a blast.
Yeah, they were.
It was
weird,
really,
because we were discussing the fact that it was a very white audience.
Yeah.
And then, what do you know? Hey, there's a black guy.
So first thing I said, about, you think we'll see any black people tonight? And then he walks in and I go, there's one. And it's Vinnie Johnson.
Vinnie Johnson.
Hey, a black guy. Ooh, fun.
Also, my mom was going, it's kind of fun taking my mom to a show. Like, it was a different experience. But we're going through the metal detectors. And I go, Mom, I hope they don't find your weed.
Hi, Mommy.
She did not think it was as funny as I did.
Rosie's a rock dog.
Like, did you see that the way that security person was staring at me after you said that? I was like, the genius would be if you actually had some. And then they would never think of searching you because your idiot son said something really loud.
She's seen Bob 8 times?
Yeah, 7 or 8, she said. Yeah, she loves them.
She's a rocker.
Do they take weed away at those things?
I wouldn't think they would.
I don't think they do. I'm pretty sure that I've seen instances where you even pull it out and have it in your hand and just keep walking by.
I don't think they care.
That hill gets awfully smoky.
That pavilion did, too.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, it's the most jammed I've ever seen DTE. It was jammed.
It was
absolutely
jammed. I know. I parked in a section of the parking lot I didn't even know existed. It was like behind the stage. It was weird.
I got there an hour early and it was jammed. It was absolutely jammed. The ladies' room line, I was like, wow, what's that line? It's going around, you know, other buildings. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, it's the women's bathroom. And of course, the men just walk right in.
I love DTE.
Why in 2019 is that still going on?
Why, women taking forever?
Yeah, well, no, not having more women's bathrooms. Oh, I guess we're equal. We're the same, so therefore we should have the same number of bathrooms. No, men and women are not always equal. Why is that such a problem?
They should just be unisex bathroom. You can go to whatever one you want. Just have all stalls.
Well, the men's room was unisex later on. A few women ran past me at the urinal.
Yeah. They used the urinal?
No, they were going for the stalls.
I like DT. There's some serious flaws, though.
God!
Not enough bathrooms. There's too few ways in and out of that parking lot.
Who designed the parking at DTE? Because honestly, I was thinking about that as
somebody
I'm walking
with a lot
in,
of time.
I'm going. Wait, there's no pathway to walk on. There's not that I need a pathway, but
it's kind of a free for all.
Yeah, you're walking between cars, and you're walking, you know, on grass, on dirt, and. Not that I'm complaining, but it's for shit to get out of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I sat in the parking lot for about 49 minutes.
Yeah, I thought about you.
45 minutes.
As I got out, because very few people were leaving when I did.
Yeah.
And,
I was my chest was puffed out because I knew he went on around 8:30, 8:40, so I timed it to show up right before that.
Brilliant.
So just breezed on through the back entrance, and they just kept saying, go forward. So we're like 20 yards from the entrance.
That back entrance is special.
Getting in is great. Getting out, though, it's a bitch.
I got out the back way because I left early, but at the end of the show, if you stay to the end, there's just no hope if it's a full house. You're just going to wait unless you're parked near the exit.
Yeah.
That's the only way.
But if that's the only...
If you're going to blow in at 8:30, you aren't going to be near the exit, probably.
That's the only complaint from the night. It's fine. I mean, it was great.
No, it was. It was a great
night. I
hope
he plays again.
Yeah, I feel like he will. I just seem too good. It would, you know, in one way, it'd be a great note to go out of on because the shows were great. The band was great. You know, seeing Chris Campbell and Alto and...
I got a question for a musician out there.
Who's that dude?
What is that giant sax he plays? Like, what is that? Is that a certain kind of sax? But the question is, why does it have to be so big? It was, like, comically large.
I feel like that's an alto sax. Like, Alto wants the biggest sax he can have because Alto, let's face it, he draws attention. And there's no crime in that.
I would say my focus on my attention for that show was, like, 50% Bob. 40% Alto, 8% Brandon lookalike.
Yeah, I watched Alto a lot. I don't know why. He just draws my attention, and I felt like he's sort of like Snoopy.
Yeah.
He's just always, there's just always something drawing attention to him. And I don't really mean it in a negative way, but
I think he likes it.
And he doesn't have a gray hair in his head, so I was like, wait, is Alto, does he dye his hair?
I didn't know he was...
He's
71.
He looks sharp. He always looks sharp. He always looks his best. You know, he's just a pro.
He knows it. That's the best part.
He Yeah, he does. I've met Alto. He's a nice guy.
There's the one song where he's on the highest riser. He was the only guy that was up there the whole night.
Well, that was kind of the Snoopy moment when it's like, hey, what's that spell line? Oh, my God, look at Alto. He's way up there. You know, start turning the page. And then he was hitting that big, heavy drum.
That's what I mean,
top. Yeah, that too.
But eight maracas in his hand.
It did seem like some of the settings were made for alto.
It works.
It did.
It was entertaining.
And Bob loves his band. He draws attention to them and, you know, points to them when they're doing solos. And, you know, he's just a cool
great
guy.
Show.
And that reminds me, because he was making a lot of attention for Craig Frost. And the other, who's the second keyboard player?
Oh, I don't know.
He's been around a while. Anyway, on The Fire Inside, which is my favorite Bob Seger song, he mentioned that he was single. I think he said he was in Los Angeles when he wrote that. And it's one of those songs, I think it's got a lot of applications. You know, if you don't have the fire inside, you got nothing. And plus, I love the music, and it's just a great song. And I remember having an argument with Ted Nugent about it on the air once, because Ted was ripping Bob for, he didn't even play live anymore.
Oh.
There's a hard moon rising on the streets tonight. There's a reckless feeling in your heart as you head out tonight. From the concrete canyons to the midtown lights, where the latest neon promises are burning bright.
Does it surprise you that Bob is a front man?
Because of his personality?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I would think he would play guitar on everything or play piano, but I think he likes having a band, I guess.
He was great at the piano.
Yeah.
His
he only played piano a few times.
His mom's favorite song is We've Got Tonight.
Bob's mom?
Yeah, that's what he said when he entered. It was kind of, it was the other thing, too. It's a little bit storytellers-esque, but he knew not to spend a lot of time talking about it. It was just, you know.
Yeah, he would never do that.
But it was kind of cool, just the way he introduced it. I don't know. Not a bad thing about that show.
Bob's one of those guys, when he's talking, I'm listening.
Yeah.
He'll never talk too long, and I'll hang on every word he has to say. It was just a great night. Really cool. And I do hope they play more. I won't be hurt that I wasn't at the last show.
You know they cut beer off at 10:15? Is that normal? At DTE?
Not to my knowledge.
I didn't think so either.
I've gotten beer during the encore.
That's what I thought.
I think I've gotten beer after the show.
They were waving a lot of people off.
Whoa.
I remember when I had my first beer.
Is that a 2019 thing?
I don't know.
Okay. Also, you know, tonight is the fireworks, too.
It is?
Yeah. 24th.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was watching Jill Washburn on Fox 2. On Sunday. Jill listens to podcasts, by the
way.
She does? She does. Yeah, big time.
Hi, Jill.
Hey, Jill. And she was talking about rain. Could be cold,
really?
Rain. So then I was wondering about, is Carmen going to be there? Because I watched the broadcast. I don't want to go downtown and fight all that.
No.
I'm sure a couple times it'd be fun, but I just have never felt the need. I'm not a big fireworks
person.
It's
just fireworks.
So,
what do you refer to?
It's just fireworks.
So I Googled Carmen Harlan. This is so stupid. Why would I care if she's on the broadcast?
She hasn't been on in years.
I thought she was on a couple years ago. But anyway, the only thing that came up was that the chick that threw a Molotov cocktail at her house in 2017 and had bricks in her backpack. She was going to throw bricks at her house, too.
I don't remember that.
Because she held Carmen responsible for Detroit's crime rate.
Really?
Yeah.
By the way.
I don't think committing crimes is the way to demonstrate your anger at someone for the crime rate.
Shows that no one's going to stop you.
Well, she got stopped and she got arrested. I don't know what
came of it. That's really
weird. Yeah, I thought it was weird, too.
The last thing I remember about Carmen was that ride she was taking with Bernie.
Her
last days.
Oh, the ride on...
Remember he was driving her around
Detroit? Oh, yeah.
And I think someone broke down how far they really drove based on the sights.
Oh.
It wasn't that far.
It was very far.
No. Whatever.
So, yeah, it's and of course, the Super Singers, they have the Super Singers.
They still do the Super Singers?
They've changed it. They don't call it Super Singers anymore. I think they call it something else.
That's horse crap.
I know. What pisses me off about that contest every year is the prize is always just garbage. It's like, you know, a night at the Days Inn and... Or a night at the America's Greatest,
America's
Best Value Inn, yeah, in Petoskey.
Does Gaetica still host it? Maybe it died with him. Maybe he owns the rights to Super Singers.
Gaetica, what is Chucker doing?
He'll be down there. He'll find a way to be down there. Oh, I think they are. Drew, breaking news. It looks like the Super Singers is on.
Excellent.
Unless this is an old website.
I don't know why Mike Clark and I always were delighted every year with the Super Singers.
Wait, what?
Very anguished when the wrong person didn't win.
The fireworks are tomorrow, the 24th?
Monday.
So this is an old website because it says June 27th.
Oops.
So strike that.
Well, we're going to have to open the Hall Financial Hotline because James Franco is making news by crashing at a New York City massage parlor. And somebody took a picture of him. Boy, you just can't do anything anymore. I mean, anything.
Not if you're famous. Why is he...
He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
First off, why is he crashed at a massage parlor? But
why is he at a massage parlor?
He's tired. He needs a rub down. But
is this a massage parlor or a... What is it?
Is it therapeutic or is it a rub and
tug? Is it a place
to
finish or is it a place to get a rub down?
Well, read the story because there's some quotes that might illuminate that.
Okay. Controversial actor James Franco was spotted snoozing at a late-night budget massage parlor.
Go your ass to bed!
All right, hold on. I'll finish this in a second because it is June, and there's so much jumping in June, including Zot Ford. Now, Maz is off to a slow start. We know why. He claims that everyone's just forgotten about him, but we know that's not true. Maz celebrates each and every June event, most of the time while playing hooky from work, but he is there right now. And
they'll sell you a car.
When he is at Zot Ford, he can help you lease the all-new 19 Ford Edge SEL all-wheel drive as low as $99 a month. Gary, you know Gary's there.
Mm-hmm.
So at least Gary's there. Please go to Gary, if not Maz, so we can keep a count at a minimum. Gary is Maz's personal sales manager, and he can help you lease a new 19 Ford F-150 Super Crew 4x4 as low as $144 a month. So regardless, if you care to celebrate Cat Iced Tea or Soul Food Month, all of those are June months, be sure to include Zot Ford and the hottest sales staff in Oakland County in your celebration. See details and their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com.
That's bullshit.
And Dr. Yaldo is LASIKing away. One of the safest surgeries in all of medicine. It's changed the lives of millions by allowing them to get 20/20 vision or better without the hassle and poor performance of glasses and contacts. And, you know, I think the LASIK business got hurt when Jessica Starr ended her life.
Yeah.
And some people connected it to this particular kind of LASIK, smile LASIK, I think it is, which Dr. Yellow does not do.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's been a problem with LASIK surgery generally. Now, a lot of this came up, but it did seem to hurt business. There's also some people out there offering ridiculous low prices. But if you get the Drew and Mike discount and mention that you're from the podcast or from any of the shows here at the Red Shovel Network, they will make it affordable for you at Dr. Yaldo. Whether you want the CATS Custom LASIK, the world's most precise, with most patients getting better than 20/20, or maybe you want the multifocal lens implants for people 45 plus, which frees you from your hated reading glasses, gives you precise far vision, and prevents cataracts from ever forming. Tell them Drew and Mike sent you for an additional discount. You should get an eye exam every couple of years anyway. And, of course, they've got great frames. If you want glasses or sunglasses, you don't have to be. And they're not going to say, you need LASIK. We're not selling you glasses. You can go there and get glasses, and they're perfectly delighted to see you or for your eye exam. 800-398-EYES, 800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyesCenter.com.
Do you want to hear a review of this?
The massage parlor? Yeah, they have some one-star reviews.
Whoever the male masseuse I had today needs to learn some boundaries. I'm feeling pretty ashamed for not saying something while I was there.
Is this a dude or a chick?
Liz B., Brooklyn.
Oh.
The place was packed and the language barrier was real. But that doesn't excuse an erect penis pressed against my hand twice. You're a professional. Handle your shit or keep it to yourself.
Wait, he put his erect penis in her hand?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
This is Liz?
Yeah, that's Liz's review. Update.
I'm not sure a review is the place to discuss this.
She updated her review. I'm in more pain today than I was yesterday. He was in his own world, digging his elbow all over my body, zero technique, and did more damage than I had going on.
Wait.
I'm not sure what was going on, but that was not a professional massage. Now, overall, they have really good reviews.
Liz went there for a real massage. She got a glass-cutting boner in her hand.
Twice.
And she's leaving a review?
Yeah.
I think she'd be calling the authorities.
I do agree.
Chicks go to get a happy ending to massage parlors? That's not even a thing I knew. Brandon?
You know, I don't know.
Up on this area.
Brandon.
I really don't know if the women do.
Have you ever heard of a chick going to a massage parlor for sex?
No, not at all.
They don't have time blocks that large, the massage parlor. I don't want to be there all day.
It's not business friendly.
Yeah. The masseuse would need his own hand massage afterwards. Jeremy says, I went here to try and get a knot on my lower neck. My experience here wasn't so great. I did 30 minutes of getting elbowed in the spine. The place smells pretty unclean. A sort of a footy smell with a hint of unwashed sheets, plus maybe a little BO.
Hey, my elbow.
Why are people going to this place?
I don't know. Because it really does.
This is where James Franco goes?
Overall, it has a 4.5.
Okay.
The masseuse, he puts in quotes, put her knees on the table with my head between her legs to reach my back multiple times. Very sweet lady, and I felt okay until the morning. I woke up with my back in spasm and totally sore. I still have a knot in my neck, by the way.
Well, the beauty is that if they give people, make them feel worse, they have to go back.
Yeah, well, that's kind of genius.
So it's good for business.
Yeah, it's not bad.
If they all did that, they'd be busy as hell.
It would have been a more relaxing experience if the receptionist would stop yelling into the intercom.
That was the part that cracked me up about the place that Kraft went.
Yes.
There's all the people speaking Spanish and the phone ringing constantly. I mean, you're just about to blow up and the phone rings and it's like, no, get, no, no.
Constantly yelling.
Yelling in Spanish.
You know why people go there? It apparently is fairly cheap for Manhattan.
Well, come on, Franco. You can afford a decent massage parlor.
It is extremely noisy, and they don't even close the curtains while giving a massage. You're exposed to everyone that walks by you. Not cool. The ambience is extremely bright and more noisy than you can imagine. How did Franco sleep through? How did he crash so hard?
Well, he had headphones on. So.
You can even hear people using the restroom. He's getting a massage with someone.
We have some audio from the massage parlor, Brandon?
I think so. I think we actually just got it. New audio.
Okay. Be careful not to use Trudy's. It's a little embarrassing.
Okay. Here it is.
Oh.
You're trying to get
you
off.
Imagine? Yeah.
That's going on.
Well, that's on the left side where the men's bathroom is, and the right side is the women's.
Ugh.
You can even hear the woman in there.
That's terrible. I don't know how people get off.
Seems like most...
Well, it keeps them longer and keeps the charge up. Makes it cost more.
Now we know why that guy explained the stench of the place.
So, are there just open curtain people walking by? Is there pounding some dude off?
I think while they're
seeing these strange people walk by.
Apparently they just like to elbow people in the back.
I'm not a fan of this place so far.
Oh, well, here's another one. I walked in and asked for a strong male when I saw him coming towards me.
This is a checker guy.
This is Lena C. from Denville, Jersey. I saw him coming towards me. I was excited because he seemed like he had a lot of strength in him. Little did I know, it felt like a 5-year-old just tapping my back. The man was so unprofessional. He had no technique. He was just playing with his fingers amongst my back. It was very obvious he was tired and just didn't care. Boy, I hate to be her lover.
Nothing like a masseuse that's not into it.
Ever since then, I've told everyone and their mothers to never come here. Anyways, my family and I wanted to get a quick massage within the area. My sister chose this place and made reservations. As we walked near the place, I took a couple steps back. I've told my sister, I've been here, and they truly suck!
Well, why'd she go through with it?
Well, she didn't know that that's where her sister, you know,
I see. So they're walking in and watching people get beat off while they're getting to their
and taking a dump.
The whole family's there. There's people just dumping, pounding off, BJs, and they're just walking by these curtains, open curtains.
Some of the workers were outside, and they saw us. The manager comes out and asks us to come in aggressively. My sister made an appointment for 4 at 4 o'clock. So when he saw 4 people at the same time, he put 2 and 2 together. He said, you made reservations for 4, so please come in. He was pretty aggressive, so we ended up just walking in and agreeing to get our massages done here. What, did they just steal someone else's reservation?
I think she made an appointment.
This one goes on and on and on. Ugh.
Well, while you're looking at that, if there's anything else worth sharing, this is the Shun Fa Relaxing Center.
Here's one more real quick.
Okay.
In addition to all the people chatting and talking within earshot of the room, someone opened the door midway through my massage with a power drill and decided it was a good time to fix the door.
Megan!
And there was a woman getting a neck and a back massage within 6 inches of the bathroom. It's all very weird.
Must be the girl from the earlier review.
Maybe. I was really thrown off by the drill. It was ridiculous. Thrown off.
Wait, thrown off?
Let's just lay there.
I'm suspicious. Was she getting off?
Oh, mate. Ooh, I didn't even think of that. Maybe.
She went in.
That's weird.
She'd been there before. She thought, oh, my sister does this too.
That does not sound relaxing.
I'm having trouble doing the show with these things going on.
A very no-frills place with a smelly bathroom. That's another review. Thank goodness the towel I was on smelled clean. You get what you pay for.
Why are there so many people in the bathroom?
I don't
know. How many people work at this
place? Maybe they massage the dump out of you.
There's a whole financial hotline opening. DrewandMike.HallFG.
We'll read the rest of the story, too.
Or click the link to Hall Financial on our website during Mike's show. Fill out the online form. They'll get back to you, but fast. 44 days is the average. They average 19 days. Or you can call 248-308-5000 to get a refi. If you don't want to start saving money, then do not call. If you don't want to save money, don't call. James Franco, okay. He can be seen clearly with his eyes wide shut in a seat by the window. Boy, great to be by the window when you're James Franco at a massage parlor.
I don't think he had much of a choice.
He was out cold. He was passed out in the seat right by the window. It was as if he wanted to be seen. He had his headphones on. Looked like he was fast asleep. Full body massage costs just $35. Hour-long rub foots. Wait, hour-long rub, $24.99? Who would avoid the hour-long versus full body?
Yeah,
$24.99 for an hour? Oh, full body. That means, wait, they pound you off for $10.01? What's that all about?
I don't know, God. Maybe that's because it's a room next to the shitter.
It's a cheap room next to shitter, $7.01 discount.
Hey, get what you pay for.
It's a cheap place on West 8th Street in Greenwich Village. There's loads of more discreet places to sit in there. There's a room at the back, but he chose the seat right at the front. Well, let's call. Let's get on Buzz. Maybe he's trying to avoid more Me Too action.
by getting Me Too'd?
Yeah. Or just by, you know, staying in a refracted mode by going to this massage parlor.
Hello?
Yeah. Good afternoon. I'm calling for James Franco. He's a friend of mine. He said he was going to be there today.
Excuse me?
James Franco, one of your customers. Is he there?
Michael, right?
Franco. James Franco?
You want to play with Michael, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Can you put him on?
Yeah, sure.
What time do you like?
I'm calling for James Franco.
Not Michael.
Yeah. James is an actor, and he comes there a lot. He said he was going over there, and he said to call him. He's waiting. I think he's waiting for a massage.
One second.
Thank you.
He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
Huh? Hi, how are you?
Huh?
Hello?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Hello?
Yeah?
I was supposed to call James Franco. He's a friend of mine. He said he was going over there today, and he said to call him there. Is he there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he is. Okay.
You met him on the phone?
I don't know what you
say. Okay.
Well, why'd you say yeah?
Well, let me ask you a question. I was reading, you guys offer the hour-long foot rubs for
$24.99?
Yeah. Versus the full body massage costs $35, which is only It's only $10 more. I'm just confused.
Why do $10 more?
Yeah, why would anybody want the foot rub for $24.99 when you can get the full body rub and get pounded off for $35? Happy ending and everything, right? Yeah.
No.
No happy ending.
It's not $10 more.
No.
Oh,
sorry.
Wait, no happy ending.
Are you kidding me? No.
I got one there. I've gotten many happy endings there. Yeah. I always get a happy ending.
Felt great.
No, sorry.
What?
Sorry.
What, are you guys going straight?
Sorry.
Hey, is the room next to the bathroom cheaper?
Sorry.
What?
I'm so sorry.
Well, no, I was reading reviews online, and apparently there's one room that's really close to the bathroom. Is that one cheaper?
No.
It's not? Is it more? Is it more expensive to be next to the bathroom?
I'm so sorry.
Maybe people like the sound of it. Maybe they like it. Okay, well, if you see James Franco, would you tell him to call Drew?
Sorry.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
I'm sorry, I don't speak Japanese.
He didn't know anything until you say happy ending.
No, it, obviously he knows like 7 words in English, and happy ending is 2 of them. He knows hello, goodbye, happy ending, yes and no.
Sorry.
Well, that didn't work out very well.
I like the maneuver by him, though, to just repeat the last couple words you say every time you say a sentence.
Yeah, because that didn't work out well, did it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
What is James Franco doing there?
He's getting a cheap foot massage.
He just messed up. He's just fucked up.
Probably. He's probably high walking around just wanting to crash.
But, I mean, having just been Me Too'd by 5 females, is he gone? Is he past that now? Can we go to a movie with James Franco in it?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Still making movies?
That's the thing. He has disappeared since then.
I did look up. He does have like 4 movies in post-production, but I've never heard of him. And he hasn't been showing up on TV lately either. So I think a lot of this Me Too stuff really kind of hurt the acting roles.
But everybody else seems to be fine, don't they?
Spacey ain't getting
not
work.
Spacey, but he's actually in trial. I mean, were Franco's that bad?
Who are the big Me Toos specifically?
Weinstein, obviously.
Weinstein, yeah. James Packer. John Landis's brat, who's at some private hospital.
James Packer?
Not James Packer.
That's Mariah's
James
guy.
Toba?
Oh,
Toby?
Yeah.
Toback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why do I always get that mixed up?
They're both loads.
Aziz Ansari was one chick.
Yeah, but he's...
He got past
it. Fine.
But, you know, Louis C.K., not really.
He's still out there touring.
I know, but I think he takes
lost
a lot of
jobs, yeah. Oh, Franco, though, has just been persona non grata.
I have a feeling James Franco's thing might be a little worse than...
Than what we know.
We know, maybe.
You think?
Could be. I don't know. It's just... And he's in a massage parlor? Does that tell you?
I don't think... I think Me Too or else he would have been there anyway.
I suspect he has a boner that just will not quit.
But Franco had multiple women. He had 5 women come out.
Yeah.
So...
Mm-hmm. Wasn't he dating some of them?
Yes. I thought the one story that was unnerving, and it's I think a couple people expounded on it, was he was leading the acting class.
Yes, yeah.
And he was getting pissed at people because they wouldn't get naked. That seemed a little
rough. Part of the rule.
Well, it just made me wonder, is this why he's having the class? Does he get off on these?
Sure. I'm sure
it seemed something.
I wish my babies could have the same sort of teacher, the same sort of friend.
That was definitely Tom Hanks on ID, by the way.
It was?
No. I looked it up. I swear. I looked up the narrator.
Really?
Yeah. Is it Bob Hanks, his brother? Because it sounded just like him.
No, it's not. It's just some random dude that does voice.
I thought that was Tom Hanks just pushing his voice.
It really did sound like him.
I know he does do a lot of work with documentaries, but I don't know if
only if they're World War II.
Bentley is so bummed he was not represented properly on that. And
so was Marasso. I talked to Marasso.
Oh, Marasso?
Yeah, he knew Ramsey. He knew Ramsey,
he
really?
Did?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So did he know his mom?
I don't think he knew his mom. He did say Ramsey had some problems. Not enough to have him be murdered, but it was definitely different.
And Scandarito, by the way, Jim Scandarino, Bob Page's buddy.
Yeah, his best friend.
He got 15 years.
Which was the maximum.
But he murdered him. He murdered his father.
Yeah, but that's not what he was charged with.
I know.
So the judge is supposed to pretend that never happened.
Well, I don't think he pretended because he gave him 15 years. And there's a rumor, I don't know, Barbara Walters was talking about this, that Scando and Sando may be rooming together in prison.
Really?
Yeah. Sandusky and Scandarito. Scando and Sando. And I guess they wanted to do some good cop, bad cop play.
Because he was entering your mouth.
Well, here's where she is, where she goes to announce it.
Peter, there have been some...
Barbara, quiet for a second, please. Sorry.
Oh.
Sorry, she didn't get it out.
Painful. That might be the biggest snub ever.
Because he was entering your mouth.
That should have been her comeback.
That was to Anne Heche.
Yeah.
I thought she was talking to Lewinsky and some alert listeners.
That was a wacky interview.
Emailed in. Oh, by the way, we had some email I wanted to take a look at.
Hey, but Scando, if they find his dad's head, right, they can charge him? Is that true? Because he was never charged. Was he charged? Oh, no, because he was found.
Yeah, he was found not guilty of first-degree murder.
That seems a little ridiculous.
Yeah, I thought they really blew that. You know what's interesting about those cases is you really want to get that guy. Get him! Charge him! Now!
Mm-hmm.
But it seems, and this comes from watching a lot of true crime and reading a lot of true crime, it seems like the longer they wait, there's more evidence, and I don't know why. It just seems like juries, when there's a cold case, and there's never been another suspect in all that time, they tend to convict a lot of those cold cases. I don't know why.
Because they focused on this person. They limited their scope. How often do you hear that from defense attorneys?
I know.
Yeah, of course they focus on that person because he did it.
I'm finding defense attorneys to be so annoying these days. I'm so tired. Like this case.
Except for the listener who bid on the show and came in. Remember?
Yes, of course.
He's great. All the other ones, meh.
This Philo Doulos or whatever his name is up in Connecticut, and his ex-wife,
his
or
lawyer.
Soon to be ex-wife, his estranged wife, mother of five. His defense attorney saying, oh, she used to disappear all the time. She'd just walk off and, you know, not come back for days.
Such a dick.
And her friends are saying, you're out of your mind. She was a fabulous mother. Everyone has been saying what an incredible mother she was and how she would never leave her kids like that. And, oh, he just happens to be dumping off her bloody clothes all over Hartford, Connecticut, the same day she was missing. Gee, that has nothing to do with her disappearance. The same attorney even said, yeah, I don't really know what's going on with that yet. You know, I haven't found a good excuse.
Here's what he said. She said he was verbally abusive and maniacal and implied that he was physically abusive, too. That was the friend. So his lawyer now is suggesting that she got the idea from Gone Girl, that novel and terrible movie.
Horrible movie.
He even said that she penned a 500-page Gone Girl-esque manuscript years ago. This is a person who has a pretty florid imagination and motives to use and hurt Mr. Doulos.
Well, she may indeed, but he killed her anyway.
He also said that she had a troubled past, and you ready for this one? She struggled with heroin her whole life, which is such bullshit.
I love how you just murder someone and then trash them in creating a defense. It's just disgusting.
She once disappeared from New York and lived for years under a false name after an intra-family dispute about money.
Probably to get away from the guy that killed her, if it happened. He's
so
putting
guilty.
Her bloody clothes in the garbage all over Hartford. Come on. Give me a break.
This lawyer also said that the husband or ex-husband received a $14,000 bill in April for unknown blood work, which, what blood work costs 14 grand, first of all? And so then he wrapped it up by saying, from our perspective, this is a perfect storm. A mysterious illness we don't know about, history of substance abuse, and a history of having disappeared. What an asshole.
That sure is a mystery.
What a total dick.
It's interesting how I have so many objections with the legal system in general, probably more than I can ever remember having. One is, of course, that as soon as you hire these high-priced attorneys, they just start flinging the bullshit.
Yeah, well.
And look at all this stuff about this woman. Now, if he had things in his background, they couldn't bring him in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always when Bill Cosby rapes 50 women and they go crazy because they brought in four women that have nothing to do with the case.
Zip, zop, zoom, da, bop.
Why is it the prior acts of the victim are just open season, and yet the prior acts of the person who is alleged of the crime, you can't say anything?
No, the victim can't respond.
No.
They're dead. It's... What a dick. I hope they get him.
Yeah, I think they will. And his girlfriend, who he moved in immediately after Jennifer Doulos moved. Is it Jennifer Doulos?
Yeah.
Yeah, as soon as she moved out, he moved this new girl in. She was with him when he was disposing the bloody clothes. She's turned now. So he's fucked. And by the way, Jennifer is way hotter than the new girlfriend.
Yeah.
Way hotter. She's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Just for the record. You know, it doesn't matter. But, yeah, let me check some email. There's some really good email. One story I've been debating. There's been so much millennial talk, I almost don't want to bring it up. I thought it was kind of pro-millennial in a way.
It was. It's a cover of, is it the cover of Time magazine? Millennials?
I got that, too. That's what I was debating, yeah.
It's really long.
Yeah, I know it is. But the first part is far better than the second part, I thought.
Yeah.
Somebody sent me a video of Jeopardy, and they asked, who is this? He opened a record plant called
Third Man Records.
Third Man Records in his hometown.
Give out the answer.
His hometown of Detroit. And the first girl buzzes and says, who is Eminem? I mean, how can you look at Jack White and think it's Eminem?
Well, I don't think she knew. She
she didn't. Yes. But why'd she buzz in?
A great audio. This musician who built a pressing plant. Oh, there's a picture of Jack.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Julie?
Who's Eminem?
No. Rebecca?
Who's Jack White?
Jack White, yes.
See, I wish Alex would have brought up a picture of Eminem just to...
And then paused the whole show.
How ridiculous.
Quizzed her about it.
A lot of people put that up, didn't they?
What, the side-by-side? And they're both wearing the same hat.
Oh, come great. On.
That's really. Oh, I didn't know that. So, yeah, I didn't know they had a picture of
him. Yeah.
I didn't know it was a picture daily double or whatever the hell
Let's see. Where's the one I really wanted to read, Mike?
It's a spooky picture of Jack, too, they used.
Yeah. Who does he look like in this photo?
Jackson.
He does.
Yeah, he looks a lot like Michael Jackson.
It's weird. His face is really white. He's got some makeup on. Mike.
Yeah.
sent an email. His seven-year-old had his first year of soccer.
Cool.
The whole year I stayed at the practice along with all the other parents. At the beginning, I hesitantly asked other parents if he hypothetically be okay for us to leave and pick him up after. No parent had a real answer. Most dodged the question. I honestly did not want to ask the coach because of the fear of ending up on the news because I want to leave my kid with strangers. Can you blame me for being afraid of that? No, I don't. That's what's happening is, you know, we've talked about this a million times about why do parents go to practice?
Yeah.
And somebody else sent me an email about...
He could leave.
Yeah, but he feels like he's the crap parent that
so
doesn't
what?
Watch his kid practice.
We don't need to fucking practice, Randy!
I know exactly how he feels.
How old is the kid?
Seven.
Oh, you can leave.
We're talking about practice.
I don't know why.
How long is practice?
Probably a couple hours.
See, that's the other thing. Is if it's a 30-minute or 45-minute thing, that's different,
it doesn't make
I suppose.
Sense to leave.
Yeah. But if it's, you know, 2 hours, why would you want to be there? Don't you have better things to do for 2 hours?
It's funny. I even asked Brandon to bleep his name because I'm so concerned he'll be labeled a bad parent, which is absurd.
Oh, come on. Everyone's going to get labeled a bad parent.
Pussy.
Every now and then.
Brian sent me an email about Mike Clark that was very funny. Monster fan of the show from way back. Admittedly, I've not been a podcast guy until just recently. Well, good. I'm glad you joined the club.
Yeah, boy.
And to say I'm now a junkie for your show would be an understatement. It's like the best part of my younger days all back again.
Aww.
My claim to fame was actually having one of the stump the staff rules because of me. No saying Roger Dodger.
That's great.
We shared probably, I kid you not, a 15-minute stump the staff that went way far off the rails. I forgot the answer. Mike was laughing hard at me. Ah, the good old days. But my Mike story. He inspired me. Okay, that's a stretch. He kept his plane where I took flying lessons at Barnstormers at Pontiac Airport. One day I was finishing up and my instructor was like, hey, you like Drew and Mike, right? I was like, yeah, hell yeah. See that guy in the Jeep sleeping? I'm like, yeah, that's Mike Clark. So me being a dumbass, I go knock on his window and scare the hell out of him. I'm like, dude, huge fan. I fly here, blah, blah, blah. He was like, oh, that's great. Can we talk after my nap? And smiled, and I realized what a douchey move it was. Later that day, he showed me around his plane, talked to me for so long, I almost wanted to nap.
That must have taken hours. I wonder if he knew how long that would take.
But we chatted for a few years via email from time to time and planned to fly together. But you know, Mike, he was always a little overbooked.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Overbooked. I love that term. Side note, I own the bowling alley that is about only 3 miles away from Maz's place of employment. Holly, he invites us out there.
Oh, cool.
For a few beers. Cool.
That's a great story.
Holly Lanes. Maybe a Red Shovel sponsor. Yeah, I don't know if that would...
He loved the idea of taking people flying.
Oh my God, yes. But it rarely happened.
Did you ever go up with him?
No, I never did. I wanted to, too.
It was fun. It's a totally different side of him.
You know, he wanted to fly so badly the last year, and he was so excited to get back up there. It just never happened. Really a shame.
I flew it at an altitude of 6 feet for a distance of 4.5 feet.
Okay, let's see. Mike. Oh, this is a great one. Have you heard that? I heard you guys talking about the story regarding the divorce couple who split the lottery winnings. Hmm. I think he won $38 million. And he wanted to keep the whole thing because they'd been separated for 2 years. And I was really sort of like, oh,
should.
Sorry, two years? That's a long time. But I knew how the courts would see that. You're not divorced.
But had they still started?
There's still a community element to anything going on.
Had they filed?
Well, no, I don't think they. Yeah, I think they had filed.
Well, then that
but
should
he,
be it. Once they, you
were
file.
They were disagreeing about a number of things, and they had both agreed to have an arbitrator settle disagreements. So the arbitrators, that's done. Done deal. Interesting. I felt the whole story was not told. And then he has a connection to this couple. I won't get into that, but he says that the wife was the primary breadwinner of the family, providing steady income and benefits. He's not a bad guy, but not a captain of industry. When the divorce was first initiated, apparently he didn't want to sign the papers because he was still being taken care of financially, so it was in his interest to drag his feet.
Oh.
It was after he won the lottery that he decided to sign the divorce paperwork, and I think that's why the arbitrator ruled the way he did. I can verify about 75% of the story. I was just about to say this is hearsay. So,
but that, if that's true, that makes a lot more sense why the arbitrator ruled the way he did.
Hey, I hit the Powerball.
It didn't make sense that you would have a separation going on and on and on either.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'm trying to win $600.
And not speaking specifically about him, but there are just a lot of cases now where the female is the larger income earner. And I tell you, the way I see it, I don't know. I don't think I'm that chivalrous a person. But I can't see asking a female for a lot of money. I know it's just, you know, maybe it's because I've had jobs. I don't know.
I think it depends on your situation.
I mean, you know those cases where where guys are...
I would have no problem.
Well, I'm a little older than you.
Yeah, I'm currently in that boat now.
Yeah. Well, would you want to take her to the cleaners?
No.
I mean,
not.
There's a lot of females that, you know, it's clear they're really going for it. I mean, they want every dime they can get.
Sure.
And, you know, the Miguel Cabrera case.
So why can't guys do it?
Yeah. So I notice a lot of times when somebody is going after someone, like when K-Fed was going after Britney.
Yeah.
You know, he's only getting $20,000 a month.
My ex-wife is destroying my name.
It always feels weird to me. And then when I read the
guys
comments,
aren't going to ask just because
out of pride. I'm not saying they shouldn't ask, but when they really are going for it, I feel there's maybe just a little lack of pride there.
I think it's the amount of work it would take. I don't know. Does that take a lot of work to go after it all? A lot of filing, a lot of court time?
If she has a lot of money, it probably doesn't. Because, well, you know, it's all every case individual. But I've noticed that when you have those cases where somebody's going after the female, and I will always read the comments because I love reading comments, and there's so many people saying, yeah, get every dime from that bitch. It's a two-way street now.
Speaking of money and what people deserve, here's that story I was telling you about before the show.
Oh, okay. Detroit. Yeah. Just mentioned this. I think it's just one more email. Okay. A WNBA player named Elena Del Donny complained about riding.
Elena Deladon. Yeah. Deladon. I actually know who she is.
I'll tell you why.
Because 60 Minutes, Real Sports, they've all done stories on her.
Okay.
Because she plays close to home because she has a special needs sibling that she takes care of.
Okay.
It's actually kind of a sweet story.
She complained about riding coach to an away game, and she took a picture of her knees against the seat in front of her. The funny part, she wrote, is that a 50, 60-year-old man told her he could cross her up. I guess you're sitting near her. Comments below, have no sympathy for her at all. I copied in the first page or so.
Yeah.
And again, you know, this is...
One of them, 6'11".
The reason this came up initially in my view was because the soccer players are suing for equal pay with the men's soccer players, and the revenues are just so imbalanced.
It sounds like they're going to win because of the revenues. This is the thing. So it came out last week from 2016 to 2018.
The TV revenues?
The women's national team actually brought in more revenue in those 2 years than the men's did because they didn't make the World Cup. They just haven't been playing as much. But because of that two-year time frame, people think they're going to win the argument. But I always thought that because you had a union and negotiate, that you use that in your negotiations next time. That's the thing that's bothered me about it, is that they negotiated this.
But the total number was just crazy imbalanced since 2014. It was like $4 billion to $73 million. You know, and I know...
Apparently last 2 years, that's changed.
Well, it depends on where you read the story. Mm-hmm. People...
That was the internal audit.
Okay. That was NBC Sports I read that story on about the revenue. And a few people sent it to me. WNBA team plays 17 home games per year. They average 6,700 fans per game. Really? That number's down 15% over the last 8 years. That's around 114,000 tickets sold per team. The WNBA's worst-selling team sold an average of 14,000 tickets across 41 home games for a total of 612,000 tickets. Is that the best team, you mean? So the NBA's worst-selling team sold more... Oh, the NBA's. So the NBA's worst-selling team sold more than five times as many tickets as the WNBA league average. That doesn't even factor in that the NBA tickets cost much more than WNBA tickets. There just isn't a lot of sympathy.
Not for that. They're totally... They're not the same sport, and everybody treats them as the same sport.
I know. They try to make it a male-female thing. And it's insane. It's not the same thing. The Washington Mystics have relocated from an 18,500-seat arena to one that seats 4,000, and they can't sell out. Point being, this team needs to start becoming profitable in order for business or first-class seats to become a reality for players. It's a money thing. It's a charity league. She should be thanking someone for paying for her flight, because if it wasn't a charity league, they wouldn't be able to fly to games.
Yeah.
The WNBA lost $12 million last year. I can't understand why they don't pony up first-class seats. You don't get treated first class just because you're a great athlete. There are plenty of great athletes not making too much money, men and women included. Depends on whether a 50, 60-year-old man had ever played basketball before and what kind of shape he's currently in. Brandon and I were we talking about this story, or were we talking about the soccer? And I looked up, there was a WNBA team on the screen, a WNBA game.
Well, that was today. Earlier. That was just today.
Is that a playoff game?
Well, I had ESPN on. They were just doing some SportsCenter stuff, and then they cut out to go to the WNBA game, Washington versus Atlanta or some shit like that. And you came down right when they kicked off, and the entire arena was empty during tip-off.
I mean, late-arriving crowd.
It was empty.
Yeah.
No one in the closest seats. No one. Completely empty. These attendance numbers are ridiculous. And so are the Pistons. The Pistons claiming they average 17,000 a game or something. There's so many empty seats there. Mm-hmm. Come on. But do you believe the WNBA is even selling this many tickets?
It holds 22,000.
Oh, actually, you know what? Somebody discusses that in here. There's a lot of people that buy WNBA tickets just, I guess, to be nice.
What?
Well, NBA tickets, I think people can give away very easily.
Yeah.
WNBA, some people try to support the league, but they don't really want to go to the games because it's women playing basketball. I don't know.
Seem like the wisest investment. Right?
If you have the money to, I don't know. You don't get to write it off.
Why do the women's league in, like, Europe and Russia and China, like,
they do well.
Why is that?
Do you get the feeling that that there's a real shortage of entertainment in Europe? Because I see some of the bands that are playing over there, and I'm like, oh, my God, that's a festival?
Also love festivals.
Well, they do love festivals.
And flags.
Oh, God, they love flags.
They love flags.
Absolutely. But, yeah, the women make $200,000-$300,000 over there. So why are they playing the WNBA? Why don't you play over there?
Play over there. Exactly.
I think that was a
lot. By the way, do you know how much the female soccer players make?
I have no idea.
You
I know
never,
they make,
you
I know
never
they make,
see this in the story, and I wonder
a higher percentage of their revenues than the men do.
Well, I'm just wondering if you never see it because maybe they would lose some sympathy because it's still a very good paying job. It's $99,000.
Oh wow!
Now the men get paid what $250 or something?
Yeah. Well, remember when Olympic teams didn't make any money?
Oh yeah,
no. I mean, it's funny how that whole amateur thing. Yeah, it is. It is like college sports, and I wonder how long that charade will go on.
Not long.
And then Aaron, let's see. Preface the fact he was born in 1982, so I'm on the board of Gen X and Millennials. Either way, I see. Boy, we get so much email about Millennials. You guys create a lot of attention.
Guys, wait.
Hey, one last thing on the women's soccer. The article that got all that internal numbers,
yeah.
They took the 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, excuse me, they have a graph, you know, the revenue up and down. Of course, the U.S. men's missing out on the World Cup just decimated them. They don't point out, though, that for the last year, for 2018, the men did outgain them again.
Without being in the World Cup.
Yeah. So basically, when they won in 2015, it was just a huge shot of revenue for the women, and that's what they're basing a lot of the fight on.
I have to say, between the world's the women's soccer team and the WNBA, they get so much media attention.
I'm shocked.
Oh my god!
Surprised at the coverage.
It's insane. The
WNBA
is on all the time, and I don't know anybody in the entire league.
Well, now you know Elena.
I don't know anyone that watches besides Maz.
Yes.
So we got a guy born in 82.
Yes.
Either way, I see a ton of fucked up parenting now that my kids are in school. I was having a conversation of money with a friend who's expecting his first kid about how many parents go to school to eat lunch with their kid. I was floored. I couldn't believe this was a thing.
I don't get it.
There's so many parents who will take a homework assignment and practically do the entire thing for their kid. Oh, yeah, I know about that. How do I know? Because it ends up looking flawless, and the parents post it on Facebook for everyone to see as if anyone believes their six-year-old actually did it. The sports stuff starts getting competitive just as early. My nephew's on a U6 travel team?
What?
Why? Does that mean 6 years old?
Yeah, under six?
Under six.
Oh, come. You got to be kidding me.
How far do they travel?
Why a kid that age doesn't play every soccer game at the same fucking field at the same time every week is beyond
me. Honestly, just put them on the same field.
What?
Make it like an XFL overtime game.
This is just too... Come on, really? There are that many people who will put their kid on a travel team under six?
I don't know. What if your kid sucks? You don't know how good they are under six.
Well, they're on a travel team. They got to play against the best. That's why they're on the travel team.
Please.
And newsflash, they still pick dandelions in the field on the U6 travel team. You just spend more money for them to do it.
That's
a
great.
A U6 what? There must be a lot of money in this. I started going to the driving range with my son when he was five. It was a bit selfish. I wanted to go to the range more and thought it would be good father-son time. We now play par three courses. He really likes it. I was telling classmates' dad about it the next week. He had the kids signed up for golf lessons with a $500 junior set of golf clubs. Nearly $1,000 spent before he knew if his kid even liked it. There's a feeling of expectation to keep up with everything. I think most parents... intentions are the same. Everyone wants the best for their kids, but parents end up doing what is perceived to be the best. Once it starts, it's nothing but trying to convince yourself and justify it's the right thing. Brandon, I'm sorry about the article below. It's old, but it's pretty relevant. You definitely buck the trend, so it's best to not associate with fellow millennials while Drew and Mark just pile on. Just play drops with the Gen Z guru and you can deflect.
I'll pile
gotta
on.
Go. He's talking about the me generation.
I Googled like an under six travel team.
Yeah.
I found under seven and under eight. What do you think the cost is for the whole spring season?
See, this is what is so effed up. This is a money thing, mm-hmm. And it's under the guise of, your child's good, they've got to play against the best, so just sign up here. I guess $2,000, because that's what Maz plays for.
$239.
$239.
So I don't know how much traveling they're doing.
Yeah, but the traveling.
That's still more than I would pay for under seven or under eight.
I would, to travel, to have a six-year-old play soccer?
That's ludicrous.
How far do they travel?
I don't know.
Are you fucking kidding me?
But they get a professional trainer. five or six games. That's not even that many games.
Oh, my God. It's just too it's dumb to comment on.
It's out of control.
Wow. Yeah, so that me story was quite something.
Here's an under six travel team. This is in Miami. Oh, my God. Look at these coaches with these kids. Knock it off. Fees and registration.
How could you even coach an under six travel team?
$190 there.
Big game today, kids.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. The rec is $120. Travel's $260.
If there is one thing in this world I cannot stand, it is fucking soccer. All right? And I hate when people do it around me.
Brandon, can you do these two commercials? You might as well, Brandon, read a couple.
Oh, shit.
Don't lose that free press.
Let's see if you can do the job. Oh, the me. Oh, that story. No.
Oh, or the millennial story.
No. We'll get to the millennial story.
Zotten Hall?
Yeah, Zotten Hall.
All right. Our beloved studio sponsors and friends at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInTheD.com are smack dab in the middle of their Jeep celebration event, and they're excited for you to be a part of it. During Zot's Jeep celebration event, lease a new 19 Jeep Compass Limited at just $188 a month. You can also lease a new 19 Jeep Grand Cherokee for just $277 a month. Or if you fancy yourself more of a Ram truck type of a guy or gal, how about leasing a new 19 Ram Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4 as low as $169 a month? Better still, how about a 0% financing on all new 2018 Ram heavy duties in stock? As you can see, Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is kicking off this hot summer with a bang, so strap on your asbestos undies and take advantage of these deals right now.
I want to get in that thing and just drive it right away. Do you mind?
And Hall Financial, it's the top mortgage company in Michigan for client service and huge supporters of not just our show, but the entire Red Shovel Network. David Hall and Hall Financial are the team to go to if you're looking to purchase a home or refinance. You've heard it from our listeners. They have over 500, 600, hell, maybe even 700 five-star reviews now because they always put you first. In fact, 72% of Hall Financial's business is referral because realtors trust them and their clients love them. Don't just take it from us, though. If you're just good...
Wait! I can read it.
Hey, it took a lot longer. It took a lot longer than you even thought. Admit it.
I was hoping I could get through this without that.
Today, Junior?
All right. If you're going to work with someone in the Metro Detroit area, this is your team. From start to finish, they were attentive, made the process really easy, checked in with me every 2 days, even if there was no news. On top of the elite service, this person closed their home in 2 weeks early. Even the sellers were impressed. Also, holiday time is a great time to refinance.
Holiday time, yeah, 4th of July.
4th of July time.
As you can I can't read it. There's no words on it.
I was getting around that. You can help your cash flow by not having to make a payment. Don't wait. See why other over 700 clients are raving about the team over at Hall Financial today. Go to drewandmike.hallfg.com. You will not be disappointed. NMLS 1467435.
Wait!
All right. Thanks, Brandon.
Yes.
A couple things.
It's a great story about a trial in Miami. You want to hear about it real quick?
What's the trial?
Criminal trial was halted temporarily on Friday when
the guy throwing feces,
defecated into his own hands and hurled feces across the courtroom.
He did that live? He did that? I thought he had feces secreted away somewhere. Secreted.
Where would you? He did in his butt, Drew.
It's the only place
you could
store
feces.
That's true.
Did you hear what he yelled after he threw it?
No.
What would you yell if you threw some feces at someone? Would you make a chimpanzee reference?
You're a pile of crap. I don't know.
It's protein. It's good for you.
Is there any audio or video?
I have not seen video. Thankfully,
I do have audio.
Oh, you do?
Oh, great.
I just think you like baby poop.
Thankfully for the judge, the
audio of him taking the dump, Brandon. We probably have that.
And then throwing it.
I think I do. Here it is.
Why is it so wet if he's just going in his own hand?
I think he had a glass of water.
He went in the glass of water.
Use that.
He liked to wash it off.
He knew if it was airborne, immediately it would smell too much and tip people off.
The excrement narrowly missed, but the defendant's protest prompted a frenzied evacuation from the courtroom, with lawyers and the judge scrambling for the exit as the county police... Oh, man, there's the guy just doing a job no one wants to do. A county police officer rushed to restrain him. The defendant had been sitting in a wheelchair to the right of Walsh, that's the judge, until a bailiff suddenly called out to the justice and urged her to seek shelter.
It's not a turd! Hide!
Video captured by a spectator in the gallery. So someone was taking video of it.
Nice. Where is
it? Shows one officer desperately clinging on to Philander. That's the guy. Philander's arm in an attempt to prevent him from wiping his hand on the judge's bench. So after he threw it, he tried to wipe it. Witnesses say they watched in horror when moments later he appeared to eat the feces as officers worked to restrain him.
He ate the evidence?
Why did he defeat his point by doing that?
Oh, there's a witness listed. Hang on. It was intense. The correction officers and police officers were swarming. There were like 60 of them. They told everyone to leave, and you couldn't go back in. It was considered a hazardous area.
I'm not sure this is appropriate use of the Hall Financial Hotline, but I want to call the witness anyway if we can.
The judge proceeded with the trial in a separate room when the original setting was closed for cleaning. Yeah, after 1 hour of deliberation, the jury returned.
Wait, how can one shit require everyone to leave the room permanently?
It was a hazardous area.
One dump?
Yeah, well,
then my yard. I guess no one can be in my yard then.
It's very hazardous out there.
I guess
so. But it's not closed. The jury returned a verdict of not guilty.
All right.
According to the
report. Wait, what was he charged with? Completely forgot.
Robbery, burglary. But it gets better.
Well, if he's found not guilty, why did he take a dump in his hand? Or in his glass, I'm sorry.
Despite his acquittal.
Water glass.
Despite his acquittal, he'll remain in custody as he's also facing a separate trial for grand theft. On Thursday, during a lunch break, the 33-year-old defecated on himself, smearing it all over his body and the walls of his cell. So they think he's trying to act crazy.
He's acting out.
Corrections officers were forced to haul him away through a public hallway, which was soon tarnished by fecal stench.
Oh, boy.
Here's a nice piece of shit.
The entire wing of the second floor of the building had to be
stinks.
Quarantined off and disinfected as a result. Look at this dude. I got to tell you.
It's because he was carried through there?
It was just the stench. I don't want to see anyone's feces. I certainly don't want to see that guy. He looks like he'd take a mean dump.
Yeah, he would.
I don't think he has best diet.
Can we try the witness?
Yeah, here, let me look him up real quick.
I looked him up. I got it.
You got it?
Yeah.
All right.
Did you find a video of it or no? I'll look.
I haven't found the video yet, but let me.
Brandon was also trying to find Mason Reese or his 26-year-old girlfriend. Reese is the 54-year-old.
I got Mason.
Oh, really? Did you talk to him?
I didn't talk to him, though. I got his answering machine.
Sweet. What show do we see Mason on, by the way?
Is it Inside Edition? No. It was one of your TLC songs.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, what's the witness's name?
Alan?
Okay. Great song. I get so many emails, people want to know, where do I find Matt Farley's music? Got to look under toilet bowl cleaners or Matt Farley, or he has another name too, doesn't he?
Yeah, it really depends. Toilet bowl cleaners, obviously, are the good ones.
I feel like Matt should have all music under one moniker.
I found video.
Oh, you did?
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system. 2-0.
Oh, now see this.
Brent Rivera is not available.
Okay.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hi, this is the Drew and Mike show in Detroit. We're hoping to talk to you. We understand you were a witness in the courtroom when the unfortunate incident happened the other day with the defendant throwing feces at the judge, and we were hoping to get a little commentary from you if you could call back the 248 number. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Now, the problem with this video is that it was one of those things where as soon as they saw him defecating his hand, then they were like,
what?
Let me record. So it starts with him.
Wait, what? In other words, we can't handle it. You can handle it, but we can't handle seeing the guy throw feces.
No, I just think they didn't realize this guy was going to take a dump in his glass of water and then throw it. So by the time they got their phone out, it starts with the defendant's got his arm up like this where he's trying to wipe it on the court.
Oh.
And this hero.
He didn't get the glass of water?
Hero cop trying to grab his arm.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, is this Alan?
Alan, no. It's not Alan. Oh. Who's calling?
This is the Drew and Mike show. We were trying to call Alan. He was a witness in a courtroom the other day when a defendant threw some feces at the judge after he defecated in a glass of water.
It's my brother. Yeah, I know who he is. And he did send me a clip of that or like a screenshot of that.
Oh, he did? Wow.
Yeah, it's my brother, Alan. I'm David. I'm his older brother.
Oh, wow.
How soon after it happened did he call you to tell you what happened?
He told me it happened in court that day, so was it a few days ago when it occurred?
I just wondered how quickly he told you after the incident, because I would call my brother immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something that you don't see every day. I don't even know what he did to get in court, but he just told me that. He's like, I witnessed this, and then he got acquitted, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard Alan was tipped off that was going to happen, so he went.
He's on the poop beat.
He always seems to be in the right place at the right time. I don't know why. That's just my brother's luck.
That's what some people were saying. I don't know. It's crazy.
He described it as intense. I think he was really into it.
I don't know. I wish I could get a hold of him and see what else happened there.
Do you know
did he give you guys
I'm sure
or what?
He could give us some play-by-play. Yeah, give him the phone number that you just called, if you could, and tell him it's a fecal emergency.
I will. To call back this line?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That'd be great.
And it's the Drew and what show?
The Drew and Mike show in Detroit.
Detroit. Awesome. Yeah, okay.
You're on the show right now, by the way.
Sweet. Yeah. Awesome. I'll let them know for sure. Thanks for the call, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a good Sunday.
You too.
All right, bye.
See you. All right, here's the video. Let me crank this, because I'm sure you'll probably hear a lot of, oh, type noises. See the cop holding his arm? That's where it starts. It's protein, he's yelling. It's good for you. It's protein. You can't just keep yelling the same thing.
It's horrible camera work, by the way.
People are evacuating. It was intense. Oh, there he is trying to eat it. You see that? Oh, what a monster. Man, that corrections officer's strong. You see him pinning him down?
Yeah. Who's that old geezer that's turned the other way? Like, I can't watch this. What's the matter with you?
I don't know.
Who wouldn't watch that? That's a one in a millennial kind of event.
I wanted to make some type of an offer to resolve the case. I wanted to make sure that's on the record what the offer is, and get your position on the record. What is the offer from the state?
Thank you. That you eat his feces. I don't know what this part is, Drew. There's no feces thrown in.
There's
here.
No feces. I'm not interested.
Fucking chew on that shit.
Ugh, what an animal.
Yeah, that's.
Let me find a face.
And he's free.
Definitely inappropriate.
he's out on bail for his other charge.
I think he crossed the line there.
It's protein.
Okay. Well, I should mention Luke Nowacki, of course. How far in are we, Brandon?
About an hour 22. We have a boner line, too.
Luke Nowacki would love to help you with your financial future if you have questions, or maybe you just haven't planned your future if you're married, or recently married, or you just recently had a child, or you got a few kids and you're still not planning squat. You might want to call Luke Nowacki and at least come up with a plan, because you will need this eventually. 248-663-4748. And Luke and his team would love to work with you. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC, Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned other entities and all marketing names, products or services referenced here, independent Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated. And Luke just started sponsoring No Filter Sports. Hey. So he's expanded his reach on the network, and we appreciate that. 248-663-4748 to reach Luke Nowacki for help with your financial future or myriad of things. He helped Trudy with health care. He helped some other people with life insurance, and somebody else wanted a will, and I think Luke pointed them in the right direction. So he's really quite a wide range of things Luke can certainly help you with along those lines. We should probably move on to the president, who has been accused of raping a woman in the mid-90s. And I asked you this question because I was really curious. I said, when you heard about this story, what's the first thing you did? And the answer I thought I was going to get was...
Oh, the first thing I did. Oh, you asked. Okay. You didn't ask me that.
Oh, boy.
But it was see what she looked like back then.
Yeah, I Googled her. I Googled her immediately.
That's everyone's answer.
And I don't know. I don't want to say the drop has influenced me, but I did feel she might not be his first choice, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen. She's...
Believe me, she would not be my first choice, that I can tell.
She's 4 years older than Trump, so it struck me that she would definitely be out of his typical range.
Sounds like it was opportunistic, though.
It could have been. No, I'm not saying it happened or it didn't happen. Nobody knows. Those two people know, and no one else knows. This is what I hate, because I saw, the reason I heard about it was because it was trending on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And the first tweet I saw was Bette Midler, who's friends with E. Jean Carroll, the accuser. Yeah. And Bette Midler was, of course, outraged and said, I know her very well. She doesn't lie.
She doesn't lie.
So Bette Midler is the third person that knows whether it happened.
Maybe
or not.
Lying is really easy to Bette Midler because she'll just believe you. I mean, anybody, not every, she never lies. She's never lied about anything.
According to Bette Midler, she does not lie. So therefore,
it's things
it happened.
Like, it's things like Bette Midler's tweet and even E. Jean Carroll telling her story and Lawrence O'Donnell that's really going to lead people to not believe her.
I thought she told the story very poorly because there's some strange things that happen in the course of telling the story. Plus, she's on the cover of New York Magazine. Yeah, and she's wearing the outfit that she had on when this happened. And I just thought that's, you know, I never like to pigeonhole people's reactions to things because I think there can be a myriad. There's a huge range. And some people say, if you didn't report it immediately, it didn't happen. And I don't believe that's true.
Well,
the way she told her story was very strange.
The thing that sucks is it's going to be political. You know, people are just going to.
Oh, yeah. No.
I thought George Conway's op-ed about, look, if you believe Juanita Broderick and Bill Clinton, how can you not believe this? There's so many similarities.
Yeah, and honestly, Juanita Broderick, I was not there either. I don't know who I believe. How many women have accused Bill Clinton of rape? I'm not
many.
Certain. Maybe three? Kathleen Willey? Well, unwanted advances, I think you could probably get a lot more in Trump's or Clinton's category.
Well, there's been 18 sexual misconducts levied against Trump.
Yeah, I don't know what the number is for Bill Clinton. I just remember that it seemed like the more people that claimed it, the more people just said, bullshit.
Yeah, which
it
is
seems
odd.
Like they just, I know, it becomes just such a big pile that you go, oh, I can't even keep them all straight. So they're all liars. Yeah. And the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. I just thought her story was very strange, and I hate.
She does not want to charge him with rape. She did say that. She does not want to press charges for rape.
And I was unclear that she was saying, I heard it described as a rape and I heard it described as sexual assault.
So once again, she did a poor job explaining it on Lawrence O'Donnell, which, you know, maybe because she was bored to tears by Lawrence O'Donnell.
Play a little bit of it. It's very interesting to listen to these conversations.
In the article in New York Magazine, the quotes are, he allegedly pushed his fingers around my private area. And then later she writes, his penis halfway or completely, I'm not certain, was inside me.
It's so weird to think of Bill Clinton or Donald Trump raping someone. That is just so strange to think of a woman fighting someone like that and them actually
raping someone.
I know it is.
So
it is. It's really a strange thing to imagine, but it happens. You know it happens.
Eventually, he says, let's go look at the lingerie, and he gets
he
you to the lingerie department.
So he asks, he recognized her because she's a writer, advice columnist, and he ran into her at this apartment store. So I think that's kind of where.
And he's looking for a gift for a girl.
Yeah.
He tells her, and she's saying, oh, why don't you get her hat? And he's looking at a hat. She thinks it's dumb, and then they look at a couple other things. And so they're in the near the dressing rooms, I guess.
He thought handbags were dumb.
Head. And so he, you know, he's holding it in his hand. And I say, how old is the young woman or how old is the woman?
Oh, pause for a second.
Choosing a present for.
E. Jean Carroll, who's telling the story, was approximately 50 years old when this happened. Trump would have been 46, I believe.
Mid-90s, 94, 95.
Yeah.
She doesn't know the exact
date. But she's really pretty. I thought she was gorgeous because I saw her picture currently and I was like, I don't think she'd be his first choice.
Seriously, she's how I thought?
Yes.
Is there a part of her that wants everyone to know, hey, I can still fit in the outfit that's 25 years old?
I absolutely thought that already.
And he looked at me and he said, how old are you?
Good for her.
And the way he looked at me, you could see he was trying to calibrate.
Mm-hmm.
How old a person, my thigh bone in a Neanderthal cave, you know, it was like that kind of look. Okay. So Lawrence, I wish I had said, I'll tell you my age if you show me your tax returns.
Yeah, it would have been helpful. Now.
Well, how
good one.
Eventually, he not gonna help says, her. "Let's go look at the lingerie," and he gets you to the lingerie department.
Pause for a second.
He knows where that is, so he gets you right up there.
Yeah. Another odd thing about this conversation: it's very light.
Well, they're friends.
I know they're friends, but I mean,
it's been 25 years. Sound.
She never sounds terribly upset. She doesn't cry. And again, there's a wide range of things, but it's
but to
weird.
That point, she said that she's come to grips with it. She's older now. She can live with it now. It's not a, you know, she's just telling the story in a book that she's selling.
Yeah. And
I don't think that necessarily means that she made it up or that
I don't care about
the
book.
Or that it should be sold in the fiction section.
I think being on the cover of the magazine in the outfit she had on, which by the way, I wouldn't think she'd have the outfit except that it still fits. So.
Well, yeah, well, she likes the outfit. I don't know. It's a good looking outfit.
Anyway, she. The reason I say it's light is because a couple times she mentions a specific designer. You know, I was looking at a Donna Karan purse or whatever.
That's the knockoff version in the Middle East, Donna Karan.
It just seems so odd that she'd remember the designer. But anyway, just let it flow.
May have shouted underwear.
Okay,
so up the escalators we go. And at this point, in Bergdorf Goodman's, which is the greatest department store on the face, it's cozy,
also
it's
weird,
posh.
I thought,
they take care of their customers
very
beautifully.
Good.
And we're going up. The store is not very crowded. It is like 6:37 in the evening. And we go walk down to the lingerie department. There is nobody there. There's empty. And on the counter,
wrong,
which was to the left as you enter, this is in 1995, 1996, there were a couple of really fancy lingerie boxes, and there was this really beautiful, filmy, gray, see-through bodysuit.
That's right.
And he snatched it up. He said, go put this on. It struck me as one of the funniest things I've ever heard a man say. I said, you put it on. He said, no, you'll look good in this. Try this on. And he holds it up against my butt. I said, no, it goes with your eyes. You put it on.
Wrong.
And I used to be a writer at Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole situation.
I looked it up, by the way, one season.
Okay.
But it was 10 years prior to that.
Okay, so at this time, though, he's married to Marla Maples.
Oh, so he must be buying it for Marla Maples.
Is she? Is he? Really?
Yeah, he wasn't single that
long. Well, no, they overlapped.
He was single longer after he and Marla Maples got divorced,
yeah.
I believe. Much longer, because Marla Maples was right after Ivana.
It was on the same
they
time.
Were married 93 to 99.
Okay, yeah, so he'd been married even.
Yeah, she implies she doesn't know who he's buying it for.
And Marla's cute.
It was beautiful. Still beautiful.
Yeah.
It struck me as one of the funniest things. Donald Trump is standing there with this filmy thing, and I have the idea that I'm going to make him put it on over his
ridiculous
pants. That was my idea.
Mm-hmm. As you go toward the changing
rooms. As we start to move towards, and he said, you know, after you. So he walked. Here's the other odd thing. The dressing room doors, I only remembered one door, was unlocked and open, which is very unusual for Bergdorf's.
She plugged Bergdorf's a few more times.
The door was open. Bergdorf's usually keeps their dressing room doors locked. So he was like this. I walked in. He shut the door behind us.
Oh boy.
And threw me up against the wall and kissed me.
I don't think so.
I couldn't believe it. I am laughing all the way into the room. And I was smacked against the wall. Lawrence, I've never been so shocked. It's just the last thing I expected. And here's the thing. I kept laughing because I thought.
You know what? I wonder if in Trump's mind, if at that point, if it's happening the way she said it, if he doesn't think that's she's into it because they're having a good time. She's laughing.
I
she's
don't
laughing.
The problem is he keeps going.
This is not a good situation.
When it
if
turns.
You laugh at a man, it will usually, you know, crush his ego. So I am laughing to beat the band.
In trying to counter signal what he's actually doing.
Yeah,
Donald.
Thank you, Lawrence.
Change this situation.
Larry.
That's exactly what I was trying to do.
The great sleuth.
This Lawrence is when I was still able to think. I had just about 25 seconds there before the adrenaline started to pour in, so I could actually make a decision. That was a conscious decision to, you're so funny. This is so hilarious.
I'm with her.
at about 30 seconds, he pushed himself up against me with one shoulder. You know, he's a large man.
Mm-hmm.
Not as large as he is now, but he was, you know, 6'3". Mm-hmm. At the time, I was wearing 4-inch heels, so I was a good 6'1". And I was a competitive athlete. And so he's going to have to struggle to do anything. And he's trying to kiss me again, which was just, you know, which stopped me laughing for a minute. But then I could push him back. But the next thing he did was put his shoulder against me. And then his hand went. I was wearing just a black Donna Karan coat dress and tights.
There it is. It's
and weird. It was a work of a second to reach in. Under my Donna Karan, through my, it opened in the front, and through the Donna Karan dress, and pulled down my tights.
Wow.
That's when my brain went on. That's when the adrenaline started, and it became a fight. And it hurt. And it was against my will. And I don't know where I got the strength, because he was big, but I think I was stomping my foot. I have my handbag in this arm. I never put it down. I'm holding. I have no idea. The only reason I know I'm holding it is because when I got out in the street, I still had it in my hand. So somehow I got my knee up and pushed him back. And the minute he backed up, I was out the door and right down the steps. And I don't know if I went the elevator or the escalator.
She's a world-class liar.
I just took the slow escalator down and made it out to Fifth Avenue.
The exact details of what happened are very precise in your article. A prosecutor earlier on MSNBC, going through those details, said that she would describe it as first-degree rape. It did include every element that people think of as classic rape, a man raping a woman. In that space that you say was probably in your memory.
It's classic rape to Lawrence O'Donnell. Jeez.
She doesn't tell the facts.
I don't know how you can declare it all these things based on...
I mean, because you're on TV and...
Well, you're on MSNBC.
Well, I mean, yeah.
You know, it's funny. When I Googled her, the first thing I saw...
How does she even get on television?
I'm sorry, I'm laughing. Was the picture of her cheerleading...
Yeah.
In a black and white picture, and I'm thinking, that looks like early 60s to me, and I just thought, there's no way, because she's too old, but, you know.
She looked good then.
She was pretty. No, I agree. She was pretty.
I feel like something happened. I mean, why would you go through, you know, coming out with this?
Well, he says he doesn't know her, so.
Yeah, and that the book should be sold in the fiction section.
Yeah. I honestly, it's weird, though, over the weekend.
Do you believe her?
I don't know what to make of it, honestly. I thought she told the story in a very strange way.
Which is going to lead less people to believe.
But I don't think that's necessarily... I don't think that's fair to judge her on the way she tells the story, because people
will
do it in very different ways.
But people will.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if people hate Trump, they'll think she's telling the truth. If people love Trump, they'll think she's not telling the truth. And I would probably land somewhere more in the middle. I'm sure somebody will determine whether he's met her, though. I think that would probably be easy to prove or disprove.
Yeah.
Where was she cheerleading?
Illinois. She went to Illinois. She was born.
Oh, she did. I thought that was U of I Memorial Stadium.
Yeah, she was born in Detroit.
Okay.
Or maybe it was Indiana. Is Illinois or Indiana one of those?
It looks like
she went to. Maybe it was Indiana.
I thought it was
Drew.
Memorial Stadium when I first saw it, but maybe
who cares?
Not. Yeah, I know it's really not terribly important. She's a cute cheerleader, I'll tell you that much.
It was definitely Indiana.
Indiana, yeah. Wasn't she Miss Indiana?
In 1965, there, this photo.
Well, he likes pageant winners.
The other weird aspect to this is that she also accused Les Moonves of sexually assaulting her in the 90s, which, once again, will not help her. People believe her story.
Well,
it seems almost
insane. Both of those guys, I would not expect them to... do that to a 50-year-old woman, but why not?
Yeah.
I don't know why that would...
It sounds like they were both sexually assaulting so many women that there isn't that big of a surprise there'd be a crossover.
Yeah, there was something else that was being pointed out about her, and I can't remember. Maybe it was Les Moonves, but the point I was going to make was that this story seemed like a big nothing to me, because I saw it on Twitter, and then I was, you know, I was kind of following things this weekend, And
are you saying that Friday night on Lawrence O'Donnell will fly under the radar?
Yes, I am.
To the people that saw it?
I guess if you were watching MSNBC, you would probably think it was a big story. I'm not saying it isn't a big story. I think it is a big story. It always is a big story when the president is accused of something like that. But it's not – it just seems – maybe it falls in that category like when there's just so many people that it's just another person. And so you go, oh, another person accusing him of this. So
Well, he also had bigger stories over the weekend, particularly with Iran.
Well, it's funny to me.
So those took the lead.
Deciding not to do something to Iran that would kill 150 people because there was no action except for the inaction. It just seems like the president raping a woman would even supersede that, or it would be just as big. But this morning, watching the go round, I don't think I saw anything on it.
Yeah, NBC Nightly News yesterday, so Saturday, because she was on Lawrence O'Donnell Friday night. I don't know. It'd be interesting because it was Friday night. You know, for a lot of those shows, the weekend just doesn't exist. So maybe there'll be something tomorrow.
Les Moonves, by the way, denies that he raped her.
Yeah, he denies he did anything to anyone.
I wonder how many people have been assaulted by Les Moonves and Donald Trump. Is she the only?
Like the Venn diagram?
Yeah. Yes. So that's what I was saying, though.
I guess if there's two people that are likely to assault the same person, it might be those two.
They're the same area, same orbit. Or the Weinstein. No, I think the Weinstein Moonves would have more crossover.
I don't know who this person is. I've never heard of her. I had no idea she was on Saturday Night Live.
She wrote for Saturday Night Live.
I don't even remember her writing for Saturday Night Live. Read a lot about Saturday Night Live. I just have never heard
her
name
before. She's not
in the book.
She's not in Live from New York.
Lawrence O'Donnell, by the way, said that her prose was beautiful in telling the story, which that was weird.
He's a weirdo.
Yeah, he is strange. Well, my introduction to him was with the knocking, and I've never quite gotten over that.
Stop the hammering.
He
the
has, hammering. Though.
There's a woman talking in my ear about something that has nothing to do with what we're doing here. Stop the hammering. There's insanity in the control room tonight.
That was the worst part about all that was when
another
he...
Another TV host is in the news today for blowing his top.
Because he actually apologized for it.
Lawrence O'Donnell losing it during the commercial breaks on his show.
Jesus Christ.
The video, which was leaked to the website Mediaite, shows O'Donnell in a growing state of anger as he's distracted by noise in his earpiece and some guy with a hammer.
Stop the hammering. Stop the hammering out there. Who's got a hammer? Where is it? Where's the hammer? Is it on the... Go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering.
Today, O'Donnell is apologizing.
So pissed.
A better anchorman and a better person.
I don't know why you're...
a better reaction to technical difficulties, he tweeted.
We don't need
I'm
your
sorry.
Apology. We don't need your
no,
apology.
No, I think it's silly. It was during commercials, and if somebody was indeed hammering, I mean, we can't hear it. That's why it's so
That's
funny.
That's why it's funny, yeah.
You know, if we could hear the hammering, maybe we'd understand. But if you're anchoring something on television and someone is hammering, that would be very distracting.
Apparently. Oh, man.
Yeah, the whole thing. I mean, it went on and on. I forgot how long the audio was of him complaining about that, but I could listen to that a few more times.
Well, let's see if I can find it.
I think we have it.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
The other story that...
Here it is. You want to hear the whole one?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure.
Who's asking for a Labor Day rundown in my ear?
Whoa.
Someone in that control room is out of control. There's insanity in the control room tonight. You have insanity in my earpiece. Every time we go to a SOT, there's a woman talking in my ear about something that has nothing to do with what we're doing here. Stop the hammering. Stop the hammering out there. Who's got a hammer? Where is it? Where's the hammer? Is it on the... Go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the
floor.
Hammering. Stop the hammering. You have insanity in my earpiece.
Okay, the Detroit story was about this. Steve Wasko is earning $130,000 a year as director of enrollment.
Are you surprised the director of enrollment for the Detroit Public Schools gets $130,000 a year?
Well, I am, but I'm not. What is the director of enrollment? What is that? Doesn't seem like there's just layers and layers of management when it comes to schools.
Yeah.
And colleges, too.
Even if that, yeah.
You mean tell me, I cannot believe the price of some of the private schools and even public schools are getting so expensive, as Brandon want to point out. Director of enrollment, what the hell does he do? But that's not even the story.
He does maybe does the counts for count day.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a couple days' work. And count day is so insidious. Yeah. The fact that you have to beg children to come to school. I thought you were supposed to go to school every day, unless you were sick. But, you know, that world's gone. District did pay Wesco for 25 accrued vacation days, but denied his request for an additional 76.5 days. He says he was owed for years of not taking his full allotment of vacation days. 76.5 days?
So he had a little over 100 days he didn't use over 10 years.
That seems preposterous.
Kind of his fault.
What about all those days they take for teacher conferences and, and for Veterans Day? And I mean, it seems like
And summer.
Yeah, 3 months of summer.
I don't know if the director of enrollment, maybe that's his busy time.
He says he's owed $41,000 for the vacation days. They've already reimbursed him.
There's one teacher's salary.
Yeah, more than the $38,500 starting salary for new teachers. Michigan law could require a payout of unused and unaccrued vacation days at termination. Some states do, but here in Michigan, that is not the law, and therefore he's not entitled to payout of his accrued and unused vacation days. And what happened? His job was squeezed out, or why is he?
Yeah, well, when they got that new that hotshot guy that came in, the new superintendent, he reorganized things and probably said, "What does the director of enrollment do?"
Well, so he got a gift for 10 years. He got $1.3 million for being director of enrollment.
Yeah,
pretty good deal.
Did enrollment go down over those 10 years?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think he's very good at doing his job.
I sounded like Maz there. Jimmy Irsay bought David Gilmour's black Strat.
Yeah,
for three.
He's the one that bought it.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
$3.975 million.
Mella and I were ragging on it because Gilmour was basically saying, "You know, it's time to retire this. It's time for someone else to make music with it." And his whole thing was, "No one's going to buy that and make music with it. They're going to hang it on the wall." But if there's one guy who might actually play it, it's Irsay.
He might. He'd probably play it. He says he intends to be a good steward.
Oh, cool.
Along with the other things in his collection.
He'll probably will play it.
He hasn't always been the best steward, according to some people.
Yeah.
The Jack Kerouac On the Road manuscript.
Yeah.
There was a whole piece on that and how poorly he was taking care of it, that he was in a room, it was in the open, people were just like scrolling through reading it, and he was smoking near it. They thought the guitar would go for $100,000 to $150,000.
Really?
It went for $3.975 million.
Wow.
All of it went to charity. The travel case went for $175,000, and Irsay also bought the 1969 Martin D guitar for $1.095 million. He spent over $5 million.
That's pretty cool. Good for him.
Way to go, Jimmy. Wow.
Spend it however he wants, his money.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Plenty of it coming in.
Jimmy!
And, boy, there were a couple other local stories.
Oh, the nude guy?
Yeah, the nude guy.
Maybe he's just taking my advice that we all fly nude now.
He's trying to go through security nude. Yeah. I saw another guy trying to go through security, by the way, who was not nude. Mm-hmm. He was just trying to bust through security. And, oh, my God, he plows over this woman cop.
Oh, no.
Probably 5'5", just plows her over. And then two guys append him. But he was a tough dude.
Really?
Yeah.
This nude guy didn't even have a boarding pass.
Now, did he take off his clothes right there?
I don't know.
Or was he already nude, just walking around? People weren't paying attention to him.
He's already nude.
Security.
What was it, 5:30 in the morning, too?
Yeah, when you're nude, if
you're
walking
around,
great way to start the day. It's no big deal. But once you get to security, they don't want you to be nude. Apparently, nobody bothered him.
Well, at least have a boarding pass, have a ticket to go somewhere.
Is there some video?
You know, there were some still pictures on Twitter, but most of them were blurred out. Let me see if I can find one. Nude.
Did anybody report if he was hung or not?
He's a pin.
I'm assuming he was hung because otherwise he wouldn't have been nude. I wonder, you know, this is really a serious issue and a very shallow thought. I wonder if he fluffed before he took his nude venture through security.
Yeah, here's the only picture I can find.
Do you think he fluffed, Brandon?
Do I think he fluffed? I think Why this not? Guy was out of his mind. I don't know if he yanked on it a little bit.
Yanked on it.
Well, he's kind of hot. He's thin. He's not carrying any excess weight.
You like what you see? Huh?
I don't know. I just don't think he was in the right enough mind to pull on it a couple times to make it look trendy.
I don't know, but that the fact that he's out of his mind could help him because it would mean more to him.
It's not like he threw feces or anything.
Hey, who's that chick?
Well, I searched. I searched airport nude. And
that chick's nude in the airport?
Yeah, she's in the airport bathroom.
Oh,
yeah, nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
What does that chick have to do with airport nudity?
Well, she's in the airport bathroom. So
taking selfies nude in the bathroom?
Oh yeah.
Really? You can't wait till you get to your destination. You just gotta take a nude selfie. That's when you have a problem.
Yep. Here's
you have
one.
To take a nude selfie in transit.
Here's this chick. A quick selfie in the men's room at the Logan Airport.
Why are you in the
terminal
men's room, weirdo?
She's in the bathroom stall.
What a weirdo.
I mean,
you like what you see, huh?
The thing is, she's posing. She's swiveling her hips from the bathroom stall with her bottoms down. But I'm thinking, what, is she just about to take a shit?
Here's another one. Ooh, yeah.
I mean, that's not great nude, is it?
Looks like it's commonplace to get nude in the airport. Oh, here's one for you, Drew.
Oh!
What?
No, he's sitting.
He's in the Montreal airport stall.
Oh.
Nude.
Why?
You like what you see, huh?
Uncirked.
Uncirked?
Wait, there's a chick in her car that's nude.
Wait. Once again, you're in transit. And
I bet
you
got a lot of heads.
Nude. She's hot.
She is in the Miami airport parking lot. Yeah.
Click on her profile.
Let's see if there's any good comments next to that picture. Oh, she's got 39. Oh.
She's got 218,000 followers. Who is this?
Oh, let's read some comments. I have a feeling there's going to be some really friendly comments next to her pictures.
Well, I got to find a good one first.
Find a good skanky one.
What is,
I guess she's an influencer because a lot of people like seeing her half nude.
Oh, baby, I love your smile. I fucking love you.
Morning, dimples.
You are glowing.
You're glowing.
Shut up.
Not glowing.
You are the truth.
What?
Straight beauty. My boo right here looking good. My boo.
What?
What's wrong with people?
Oh, my God.
All right. Let's see what she says. She's hot.
She is hot.
Yeah.
Get a windsock for that mic.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Good for her.
I want some more comments. That should bring some comments right there.
I can't find it.
Jesus Christ.
I ended up down a rabbit hole. Some girl, it was a skanky picture, and I immediately thought, oh, I got to go to her Instagram. And I should have written it down. There were so many stupid comments. These ass-kissing guys just need to be shot, don't they?
Yes, they're not doing us any favors.
No.
I'm curious on if any hot chick, any Instagram influencer ever posted a photo, a hot one of herself, and then she's just scrolling along the comments and she sees one that says, hey girl, you want to hook up? And she just goes, you know what, yeah, I do.
Imagine if you were
really
never
do. Imagine
never.
If you were a dude and a girl just, you know, girls did that to guys on Instagram. you wouldn't make it too deep.
This girl had there were a few people and they're like, check your DMs.
Oh, no thank you. Ugh.
I mean, what? This is just so commonplace. It's just going on all over, and these people are called influencers.
Who's this?
The witness to the poo throwing incident.
Oh,
is calling back.
Alan.
Hello.
Alan.
What's up?
How you doing,
What's
man?
Up, girl?
How are you?
How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm great.
Hey, thanks for. Thanks for calling, because we read the story about this guy throwing feces at the judge and then eating it. And we thought, oh, my God, it'd be interesting to have somebody who could tell us about the story. And then we find that you were in the courtroom. Why were you in the courtroom, by the way? Were you tipped off?
No, I wasn't in a court. Well.
Hello?
Alan?
Uh-oh.
Oh, we kind of lost you for a second there.
I said, yeah, I was in the courtroom. Removed my court calls, basically. So I was just on the side on the bench, and ultimately I was just looking at my phone. I wasn't even paying attention to what was going on until I heard something, what the guy said out loud while the judge was talking.
What did he say?
Mind you, the guy, the defendant, I don't remember, what is it, Denor, I forgot what it was.
Yeah.
And he he was speaking. They were speaking on deliberating. He was just finished deliberating for a jury in the next room, was trying to figure out if he was guilty or not for a burglary from a rabbi back in 2015. And this guy was, you know, when you get called upon and they're talking about you, you have to stand on the side of, with the judge. Mind you, this guy is in a psych uniform, so he's not the normal. He's in a box where the inmate, the prisoners are sitting. But okay. He's, like, away from everyone because he's in psych. And they give you, like, they leave you naked and they put, like, a turtle suit on you.
What?
Yeah, they leave you naked and they leave a turtle suit on you because they don't want you to
Are you saying that they're asking for it?
They're what?
Are you saying they're asking for it?
They're asking for what?
Well, by dressing them that way. They're almost inviting it.
No, I mean, that's what he was. They automatically induct you into that if you're, like, yo, because the guy the day before that went the same thing. He's,
yeah, thanks for listening to the podcast.
You know.
Yeah.
Okay, so did you actually see him? Because we couldn't believe that he actually, I don't know, I thought he would have had the shit secreted away somewhere, but he took a shit in the courtroom.
Apparently, yeah.
Oh, no.
In the holding cell? Yeah. I guess, yeah, he was in a holding cell, and he ended up having it on, like, the turtle suit. It's like literally, it's like a bread in the front and a bread in the back. That's how it is. It's like a mattress and it's like a little foam mattress in the front and back, and it's like strapped around you, and you're naked under it.
Wow,
Alan, did you smell it,
bro? To be honest,
smell good enough for you in there?
I got it was at seconds, 10, 20 seconds after you know the whole video. I took the video by the way. I'm the video.
Congratulations on that. Good thinking.
Yeah, and I had.
Why
didn't
you
it out.
Start
I was like,
earlier?
Oh, everyone was kind of. Is that?
Yeah, I wish you'd started earlier because we could have seen him actually doing it.
I wish I would have continued recording while I was walking out the courtroom because there were so many in. Like, they were covered in. There were like a 40, 50 officers.
Yeah, that's fun.
Oh, man.
I mean, like a school of them, police officers and correctional officers and bailiffs storming in. Like, they all wanted
close. Him.
And so, what I saw was him say, oh, the voices. He interrupted the judge. The voices, and that's what caught my attention. I looked up, and he.
You're kind of breaking up, Alan. What happened when you looked up?
He said the voices. When I heard him say the voices, that's what caught my attention.
Right.
And other public, and I was looking at him, and we were all looking at each other like, "Is this guy saying that for real? Like, is he really saying the voices in his head? Like, he's saying it loud."
Do you think you can get on your brother's cell phone plan?
What was that?
Nothing.
You just
your cell phone blows.
You've been breaking up a little bit there.
Yeah, totally sucks.
Oh, boy.
In like every fifth word.
Did he actually fire feces at the judge? Was there flying feces?
Attempted to throw it, but it missed.
Oh, it missed. What did it hit?
It didn't go far. Liquid? I don't know if it was liquid or solid.
Oh, boy. Did you see anybody trying to collect it in an evidence bag?
No, they didn't let anyone in, though. That was,
it's poop.
Wow. Alan, it's really tough with this phone. Maybe we can get back to you after the show and set something up that would be more amenable because you're just breaking up too much, unfortunately.
Sucks.
But we appreciate
it. Yeah, definitely. No, it's because probably someone's calling me. That's why. It's breaking up.
Oh, I see. The video was enjoyable, what little we could see. It was an incredible effort to hold this guy back.
We're glad you're safe.
Yeah, I'm glad you're safe.
You getting hit? You didn't get hit by any scatneral.
Yeah, no doo-doo.
Any fecal remnants? Apparently not.
Shit, shrapnel.
Okay. I think Alan. Alan, we may have lost you, buddy. Thank you so much for calling back, though. We really appreciate it. Kind of.
Now get on your brother's cell phone,
please. Yeah, please.
Your cell phone blows.
Okay.
All right, brother.
Let It Rip is running from Sunday. And
yeah.
I love when they're showing tweets at the bottom because there's always some clown from our audience will tweet. Hey, there's Karen Dumas.
Yeah. And there's Rocky Rakowski. I know Rocky.
No BS News. She's sitting right next to Rochelle Riley.
But our people.
Wait, I will say that. Okay, see that guy that tweets there?
Yeah.
That guy tweets every Let It Rip and gets like 15 on there.
Really?
That same handle. I swear to God.
No kidding.
They need Fox 2, if you're listening to this, ban that guy's tweets from Let It Rip.
Scarbo?
Yeah, Scarbo Detroit. He's always on there. What are they yelling about? Do we even know?
I don't know. Rochelle Riley's on there. So it's got to be something crazy.
It looks like it has to do with the election, because I see a lot of the tweets talk about Biden and Trump.
Fun.
All right. I was going to get into the me generation, but I think we'll save that for Monday.
Can I add one more thing from the weekend? Did you see the video of the hot air balloon?
Oh, yeah, I did, and I laughed. I laughed really hard.
All I wanted to know is...
Yeah, because the air balloon is out of control, and it just starts just knocking over everyone in its path. They're like, I want to greet the air balloon, and then bam!
Well, see, that's the thing. People tried to grab a hot air balloon to try and hold it down because it was out of control.
It's going very fast.
Might be one of the worst life decisions in the world to try and hold down an out-of-control air balloon.
With like four people in it and their weight, and the basket's heavy too. Did you see it, Brandon?
I did not.
Oh, well, let's see it so we can get your unedited.
And everyone's okay too, and I knew that
minor
going
injuries.
In.
Yeah, so it made it a lot better.
Yeah, I felt very comfortable laughing.
The last person's faceplant is hilarious.
Crowd hitting several people at a summer festival. One?
That's the one.
Look at all the grannies, grandmas.
Just scraping people. There's one person down.
Man.
The balloon's basket knocking people to the ground. You heard
there's another angle, by the way.
It's going like 30 miles an hour, and people are trying to stop it.
Don't grab onto it. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a different video. The other one was a little closer that I saw.
Yeah, from the other angle?
Yeah.
I want to queue up Good Morning America.
And, I mean, those people get smushed. Oh, yeah.
This is it.
Scrambling there's the face moments at a festival in Missouri. Look at this. People scrambling when they see
she's
a
carrying
hot
a
air
child
heading straight at them.
What?
And ABC's Will Reed.
I'd be worried about those power lines.
With the story. Will, good morning to you.
Good morning, Danny.
Boom.
A nightmare scenario in a town on the banks of the Mississippi River celebrating its 200th year of existence.
Oh, my God. They just keep looping it, looping it.
Oh, control, they know what's good.
For spectators near disaster, and it was all caught on camera.
This is the heart stopping moment, a hot air balloon.
Boom!
Passengers aboard comes crashing down.
Struck by what?
By one of
balloons.
It happened at the Hannibal
a little
Bicentennial
different.
Celebration in Missouri. Watch as the balloon loses control attempting to land. Its basket swept into the ground before barreling through a crowd of spectators. As the balloon gets closer, you can see one of the passengers trying to steer.
Wait, why is
then
the passenger steering?
It drops, hitting a tree, then the ground.
You just start dropping like really low, and you just scrape to hit a tree, and come down, and it's coming down. Uh-oh, and there he went right in the crowd.
Witnesses reporting only minor injuries after the harrowing incident.
It was pretty rough. They were trying to grab the basket.
What's he doing up there?
The baskets were kind of falling onto the people, trying to get it steady. And
good idea.
It seemed pretty sloppy,
This isn't the first close call for hot air balloons. Back in 2017, passengers aboard this balloon making a water landing in Orange County, Florida. The frightening moment, this balloon collided with some power lines in Howell, Michigan.
The Hannibal Bicentennial released a statement about the incident, saying in part...
Did anyone die in that Howell thing?
I don't know. Oh, I don't remember. Wasn't Antonio Brown on a hot air balloon that went down, or some football player?
Brandon!
Jesus Christ.
Did you stop that drop just so we could hear your fart?
I apologize. I didn't know it was going to be on the air. Sorry.
Can you play the rest of the drop, please?
Or fake news.
That's actually a bad one. It's the long one here.
Kieran Culkin will sleep on this side. McCulloch Cuck is on this side. His sister's in there. We're all just jamming the bed. And we wake up like dawn and go in the hot air balloon. You know, we have the footage. I have all the footage.
Is that right, Michael?
Oh, I'm watching the video again.
Yeah. You hit the outro, Brandon.
There is somebody that gets hit harder than that person at the end. There's a person.
When it actually lands, Hall Financial Hotline is shutting down, by the way. Call Hall Financial if you'd like help with a refi or to mortgage your first home, dream home, or to take money out of your home.
I got to give some people credit. Look at this person in red. Gets hit like mid torso and it actually lifts them out of the way. See, now they're down here.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? the lady carrying somebody. She bounces too when she hits.
Why is she anywhere near that with a kid in her arms?
She's trying to get the kid away, but she almost ran at it.
I don't think she... I wouldn't want her to judge a fly ball, put it that way.
Why is it so?
I would not fungo baseballs to her.
No.
She should not be in the outfield.
Oh, man. I didn't realize she's also grabbing a toddler like by its arm.
Yeah, she had kids on both arms. One that she was carrying in her right, and then one that she was pulling with her left.
But you know what? When she gets hit, she wants both her arms out to stop her own ball.
And she's fine. She's fine.
Well, no, so are the kids.
The kids are fine, too, so that's important.
She actually stands back up.
I've never done a hot air balloon. Are they fun?
Yes. Yeah. Very cool, I have to admit.
Well, especially if they're going through a crowd of people and knocking them over.
Well, I didn't get that like lovely experience. If I had gotten that, I'd be much more a proponent. But it was fun.
Oh, did you see the end here?
Oh, when they came down, you mean, finally?
Yeah. Look at this. There's the passenger who's driving. It comes to quite the abrupt stop. Whoa. And it's back up. It's like a roller coaster.
Brandon, are you going to do the boner line at the end, or should we save it?
We'll play a boner line.
Okay, cool. Yeah, don't go away. There's an important boner line coming up. And the boner line is 209-66-BONER. Please continue rating us on iTunes and Facebook and anywhere we can be rated, like Stitcher hardly has any reviews for us.
What
the hell? I know, I was outraged.
Andrew, Mark, Trudy, Brendan, Suze. Maz.
Hello.
Yeah, right before Homo Curious Drew tried to claim Brandon as the one interested in gay porn and then proceeds to beg Brandon to play some gay porn.
Somebody got a dick?
Mark is digging the gay porn stuff way too much. Just way too much. He's definitely under suspicion in my book.
Somebody got a dick?
There's way too much goddamn dick talk on your fucking show. All this gay clergymen and dicks. What the fuck, Drew? I don't want to hear about that all goddamn time.
Somebody got a dick?
So much penis talk on your show. Drew, come on, man. Why is there so much penis talk?
Somebody got a dick?
It's not a sports podcast. It's a dick podcast. Because that's all you fucking talk about.
Somebody got a dick?
Yeah, you guys had an intriguing topic yesterday. It was quite riveting. It was about pooping in the shower. Well, if you drink enough, sometimes you shit yourself in the shower and you just stop it down the drain and it comes out looking like spaghetti on the other end.
Spaghetti for supper?
It's poop.
How did you guys not know that the hoedown is not downtown anymore? It's been at DTE for years. You idiot.
Yeah, all right. I'll see you guys there.
The whole Bella Thorne thing. I personally don't even think there was anybody that hacked her phone. I think she made it all up. She said she wasn't looking to prosecute somebody who did it. She didn't feel like that she should ruin the person's life or whatever like that. I think she put him out herself and created the whole thing.
Nice woman. I like her, actually.
Wait, the happy birthday to him drop?
Happy birthday to him.
Is Stephen A. Smith? I always thought it was like an 85-year-old black lady. I can't be alone on this.
I don't care.
You guys were talking about Stephen A. Smith, and you played the drop, the birthday drop that you guys play. And up until that point, I always thought that was Chris Rock. So I don't know if that's like an audio separated at birth or if I'm just a racist.
Good luck!
You keep saying that anti-vaxxers are bringing back measles. You are dead wrong. These illegal aliens coming into this country are bringing back measles.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists.
It must be physically impossible for Brandon to misdial a phone, because with the size of his hands, he ought to be able to punch each number on a standard-sized phone with a full fist and not hit any other button.
How dare you talk to me like that?
Maz, you're driving me crazy.
Next.
O.J. Simpson is fine and dandy because he is a great running back, even though he killed two people.
Yeah.
But yet, the one kid who used the N-word a couple years ago on Twitter and got rescinded from Harvard, he's an asshole. You can't stand the kid. You don't like him. He's hopeless. But OJ's totally fine.
Shit, yeah.
It's like you're a walking contradiction, Maz.
You butt out.
Guys, my head is spinning from Maz. He thinks LeVar Ball is a bad guy for saying switch gears, but he wants to bring OJ back. Fucking double murderer. Come on, Maz. Get your head out of your ass. The hell, man?
Mother effer.
Hey, guys, you're doing a great job. I love the new merch. It's awesome. Wait for a beer glass for a while.
I want that.
Hi, guys. I just thought you guys should know that my grandma's, like, last 2 years of life, she was convinced that I was married to O.J. Simpson, and spit on me when I walked in there, and I love this woman with my whole heart. She hated me for the last 2 years of her life, and I went to the nursing home every night. It's a sad story. Fuck you, OJ.
I loved her, but I didn't like her. I went in love with her.
Joe Biden said this, and Trump said this, and then Biden says this, and Trump, like, that's not what I'm here for. Please stop with the politics.
It's political bullshit.
Despite Justin Bieber and Tom Cruise, I want to see it. I'll pay money. I don't care how much it costs. I want to fucking see it. I want to see that shit. It needs to happen. Make it happen.
Make it happen.
Hi, I'd like to give Bob Page kudos for saying the C word instead of the full word, like you guys say. It's a bad word. And it's kind of like the N word. You just can't say it. Freaks me out every time I hear the C word.
She talks like a truck driver.
Dweller H.